about.
Good afternoon, friends. Isn't this a glorious day? I'm sure you all feel terrific. You know why? Because it feels good to do good.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
I'm just hanging out with my boy. Yeah. Trying to walk down the damn street.
No, I mean,
what's wrong with your face? Why aren't you asking me?
What does it look like?
It's just the way your face looks. There's something wrong with it.
Well, thank you for pointing that out.
You know, champ, I provide a house for you. I give you food. I give you money. I bought you tennis shoes. I paid for your clown college.
I don't know what to tell you, Mom. I'm a millennial.
What does that even mean?
I actually don't know.
And now.
The other thing about me is, like, I give zero f**ks about anything, yet I have a strong opinion about everything, even topics I'm not informed on.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday, the 21st of February.
Do you hear a strange voice, Allie?
Hey, who's that? Oh, hey, somebody new. Hey, this guy, Kevin. Hey, hi.
Who are you?
I'm just short-circuiting that. That's all. Just getting right through it.
I have no idea who that is.
Anyone? I'm here occasionally.
Remind me who that is again.
Well, welcome back, Kevin.
Thank you.
How was Las Vegas?
Great.
/ Paris or wherever. It was fantastic.
That was too long for Las Vegas. You can't do Las Vegas that many days.
I went twice.
You came back.
I came back and rested.
Came back sobered.
Uh-huh. All right.
Sobered up, then went back.
And I realized, what am I doing? I could go back. It's a long weekend.
All right. So it's Tuesday.
Yes.
And we're back for a new week of shows.
Sure.
You guys saw, I'm sure, what's being called the world's greatest post-game interview over the weekend. Allie, I'm sure you saw it.
I did
not.
Kevin,
you might have missed it because you don't watch the news because you're a kid. This was the World Pool Masters Tournament. These are guys who play pool.
Generally, billions. I'm all over that tournament.
I know you are.
But I was in Vegas, like we said.
Right. So. Stunned that you missed it.
Right.
It was being broadcast on Sky Sports in Britain, and this guy is a sensation now. His name is Naoki Oe, which I know I'm pronouncing incorrectly because I have no luck with the Japanese language at all. Naoki Oe. And he was being interviewed after he advanced to the quarterfinal rounds, and a lot of people fell very deeply in love with him. And then he was interviewed again later in the tournament, and people fell even more in love with him. So here's a little bit about that interview, and I would not have expected we would be starting the show talking about a guy playing pool professionally, but you'll see why.
We thought you'd won it a couple of racks before you did win it.
Mm. My name is Naoki Oe. Today, very lucky. Congratulations, me!
So, congratulations,
yay!
Me. I love him. Right?
Congratulations, me, he yells.
We're all falling very deeply in love with him.
Yay! English, a little. No problem. Only so.
So you had that shot to win it, and then you kind of recreated it for the crowd afterwards. When that shot didn't go in, did you think, I might have blown it here?
I have a pear. I have an apple.
No.
No. Oh, eat apple pear.
Okay, so now he's
now he's my favorite human being on the planet.
I have a pear. Do you have a little bit of that chip? Do you have a little bit of that song up? I don't have it up. I have a pear. I have a pineapple. I have a, you know, the little song from
sure.
Our guy.
Pen, pineapple, apple, pen.
So he works that into his post-match interview, though.
That's great.
Now, do you think he? I mean, it sounds like he knows very little English.
Yeah,
you think that's some
plus
English
he
that
said
he knows.
He knows very little English.
I don't think he knows any. And he's just like, let me just say this
because he knows.
This is the lyrics. He actually is doing the lyrics to the song, which are absurd. He's got a pretty long intro.
Apparently.
Who knew?
Not getting right to it.
All right.
I have a pen.
There it is.
I have an apple. Apple pen. I have a pen. I have pineapple.
Mm-hmm.
Pineapple pen.
It's insanity, and he's quoting that after.
I love him so much.
I love him so much, too.
That was the prequel to the Orange Juice song. All right, he's not quite done yet.
そんな感じ.
I've not ever done an interview quite like this before, Naoki. Do you think you can win this tournament?
No problem.
Okay, so no problem. So he said.
Well, he does. It's unclear in the timeline of the stories that I've seen if he immediately was lost the tournament afterwards, but he did get to the quarterfinals.
Aww.
And he did lose. And, of course, there was another post-match interview
yes.
with Mr. Oi.
Hard luck after that loss today. How are you feeling?
Excuse me? Can I speak English? You? Me? No English. No.
So it sounded like he asked if he could speak English, and then he said he doesn't speak English. So I don't know what he's going for.
Is he just messing with him?
I think he might be. But he's having the time of his life. It's not like this is a guy who's struggling with the language and is just doing the best he can to get by. He's clowning us. You know what I mean? Like, he's having fun.
No problem. Every time, happy. I have a pen. I have a movie.
Yes, he does.
Hey, a pen. Oh, my God.
He sort of loves that song.
Thank you. Thank you. Go home. Hey, go home.
Go home. Go home.
So he's yelling at the guy to leave him alone, to go home.
Thank you for your entertainment, and we'll look forward to seeing you at this tournament next year.
Thank you.
Okay, so
thank
there
you.
You
give
go.
A round of applause. There you go.
There you go. So next time he's playing billiards, I guess we'll all be rooting for him to get another interview.
Apple pen, pineapple pen. Pineapple pen.
There it is.
I love that guy so much. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeach show, shall we?
Oh, my God, you're a legend. I can't believe you're here.
The Bachelor Report, we have every Tuesday morning at 8:05.
What's up with you, Kevin?
I told you, I'm all in on this
show.
You've
been watching every week.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Okay.
Because they're all insane.
Uh-huh.
Except Vanessa, right? Who's
except
lovely.
Vanessa, yes, correct.
And yeah. And too good for this world. Not
yes,
just too
no
good
question.
For Nick, too good for this world.
Yeah, and Nick is the biggest zero ever.
Totally.
Oh, my God. Are you watching every episode?
No, I haven't watched it at all. But
oh,
just,
dear Lord, he's...
Look, I hear the update on Tuesdays, and I can tell what an idiot he is.
Oh, he's just so such a zero,
yeah,
and such a mumble mouth.
Yes, couldn't hate him more.
And why do these women all fall for him?
I'm not sure they do. My opinion just is that you get in that surrounding, and you know that you're competing,
mm-hmm.
and so it becomes about the competition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't because. Zero people that are there think to themselves, you know what? That Nick.
What a cat.
He is the Marion type.
Yeah.
He's the kind of guy I want for life.
Huh.
There's no possible way they think that. So at that point, I think they're just trying to win the game. I don't know. But Petros Papadakis joins us, and Ralph breaks it down, and we talk about it every Tuesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. You met Kevin and Bean, and they were dicks.
Aww.
Where did this come from?
So,
did someone have a problem?
I'm not sure I remember where it came
okay.
from, but apparently it's happened a lot, and we thought it might be fun to read some of those stories.
Well, that would be fun, huh? Adam Carolla is going to be on the program today.
Yeah.
Love him. Harvey Levin from TMZ. We will check in with him like we do on Mondays, although this is Tuesday, and we're going to talk to the writer and director of Get Out.
You are all going to die tonight.
Which Chip saw and says...
It's awesome!
Can't wait. So that's coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
LA and OC's alternative rock. This is the world-famous K-Rock at 551. And new this week on the Kevin and Bean Show and throughout the day at K-Rock until 9 p.m. each weekday, we're giving away tickets to see AFI in the HD radio sound space here at K-Rock. One of the great live bands, by the way, AFI. Get up close
Agreed.
To see them here in the building, and then you're qualified for the grand prize drawing to see them again. Allie, are you ready?
Yes.
AFI in Glasgow,
Scotland.
Yay!
Round trip airfare and hotel and $500 spending cash. Get all the details at KROQ.com. Your chance to win coming up just after 9 o'clock this morning. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey, boys and girls.
Morning, sir. How are you?
Of all ages. Doing well. On a Tuesday morning after a long holiday weekend, we're going to treat it like a Monday. Take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. The Lego Batman movie for a second week still at number one with $42.5 million. 50 Shades Darker came in at number two. Then The Great Wall debuted with $21.7 million. Making the Matt Damon film number three at the box office, John Wick Chapter 2 was fourth. Fist Fight debuted with $14.5 million, making it number five on the list of top 10 films. Then Hidden Figures, Split, A Dog's Purpose, La La Land, and Lion were your top 10 films. A Cure for Wellness, the new Gore Verbinski film. We had him on last week to talk about. Came in just outside the top 10 at number 11 with $5 million in its debut.
So. Not big.
No.
Kevin, there's no way you didn't go see Fist Fight this weekend.
I did not go see Fist Fight this weekend.
But he just said there's no way that you
That's
didn't
not
do
possible.
That.
I thought it was sort of a question.
No, it
was.
It was. He said, "There's no way you didn't go
okay,
see
I went
that."
To see Fist Fight.
Thank you.
Okay,
yeah,
it was
don't
great.
Set the world order.
It was great.
Right.
I don't want to live in a world where Kevin's not going to see Fist Fight because I don't know anything about him. If that happened,
I went two hidden figures.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Back to you.
What?
Must have been Wife's Choice Weekend.
It was actually my daughter, and it was
Daughter's Choice Weekend. I didn't know it was Kevin's choice. That's the only person I knew didn't choose Hidden Figures.
And how great is Hidden Figures?
It's
well, yeah,
so good.
Everyone has said that for a long time about that film. Who has seen
it? Oh, I didn't know anyone had seen it.
Yeah, a lot of people have seen it.
So people have seen it already?
Yeah. A lot of awards have been given to it.
Oh, my bad.
It is being
that's on me.
Roundly praised by people.
It's really good.
It.
They're right.
Yes.
Okay.
We knew they were right.
All right. Back
that's not a question.
Right.
Really. There was a fire at Ryan Seacrest's home in Beverly Hills yesterday morning.
Yes.
Steady.
Oh, Bean.
This is the mansion that Ryan bought from Ellen DeGeneres in 2012 for, I'm not really sure, but it was between $37 and $40 million is what he paid for the house. They weren't positive on the final number. But there was an electrical fire that broke out around 4:30 a.m. in the morning. And, the fire department did show up, and they said they'd be happy to take care of the fire right after this break. I so would have done that to him if I was a fireman. I would have come up and said, yeah, we're going to all get the hoses on that fire as soon as we return. And then I would just like had a cup of coffee or something.
That'd be sweet.
See how he likes it. See how he likes it. Being told to wait. George Michael in the news, believe it or not. He passed
What's
away.
What's he up to?
He's dead.
Oh.
But he passed away almost 2 months ago, actually. But there's still a lot of drama surrounding his death. His boyfriend, Fadi Fawaz, not welcome to the funeral, according to the family. And that they hate him.
Wow.
Oof.
No word on exactly why, but it was a tempestuous relationship he had with George. And then came the news that George Michael's funeral has been postponed because doctors want to perform more tests on the body.
Oh, no.
Still trying to narrow down and pinpoint the cause of death exactly, so apparently there's still more to be had. We'll have to wait and see. Lady Laura! She's also in the news. She's the best person ever. She went forward and she laid out all of the demands she has in order for her to play Ariel in a live-action The Little Mermaid film for Disney.
Is someone trying to get her to do that?
No one is asking her to do that. But she has laid out the demands she has in order for that to happen.
Huh. She assumes that they want her to play it?
Yes.
And then, so
she's got red hair.
Okay, so then she's short-circuiting the whole thing.
She's very much in-demand actress right now.
All right.
She posted a side-by-side photo of herself with Ariel on Instagram and said, I will sing again, hashtag Ariel, but these are her demands. Okay. Bill Condon has to direct, and she wants her sister, Allie Lohan, to sing the title song on the soundtrack album. And Disney said, we'll get right back to you.
Yeah, I don't think she's
right
got
after this.
She doesn't really have a lot of room to be making demands.
Mm. She lives in a fantasy world. No one cares. No one wants Ariel to look 40.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's what I noticed about that side-by-side photo is she looks old enough to be Ariel's grandmother.
All right.
That
easy.
Her skin, you guys.
Take your foot off the gas there,
I'm just saying.
Soldier. Lay it down into first gear. Pull to the side of the road. Get out. Take your helmet off.
She hasn't
start walking
well,
into
is
the
my
desert.
Point.
Get in the bag. And lay down.
Oh, does Kevin not know where?
Oh, Kevin doesn't know.
Yeah, you don't know where Bean's going to
live. Bean's going to end up in a bag in the desert.
No.
Oh, yeah. I've
not heard any of this.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds like a hell of a plan, though.
He's getting in the bag, and he's going to be in the desert.
It's unclear why.
That does sound great.
Stay looking today's celebrity birthdays. Kelsey Grammer. Oh, for God's sakes, Niles. 62 years old today.
Oh, my God.
Jennifer Love Hewitt. celebrates her 38th birthday. Ashley Green, lovely and talented actress, is 30. Ellen Page, also lovely and talented, also 30 today. Sophie Turner from Game of Thrones.
An X-Men. What a day.
Turns 21.
What a day to be born and hot.
Wow. What a day to be creepy. Creepy day.
Yeah, my right arm is tired.
From having to reach to hit the bell for all these celebrities.
Wrap it.
And comedian director Jordan Peele celebrates his birthday today. Yeah! He is 38 years old. So when you fellas are talking to him later on in the Kevin and Bean showgram, why don't you give him a little birthday love? Why don't you?
Because we'll forget.
That's true. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Kevin, you've been out for a couple of days. And yep. You missed a lot of fun stuff here on the show, including Thursday. We had an exceptional day because Mike Shinoda, your friend Mike, came by and brought us the new Linkin Park song.
Love it.
Which is so different from anything they've ever done before.
Yep.
You wouldn't guess it was Linkin Park if you heard on the radio. And then an hour after that, the boys in Incubus came by and we world premiered their brand new song, which is called Nimble Bastard, which is great, by the way. And a lot of fun with both of those guys.
And, Kevin, you also missed Bean turning into a 1950s African-American jazz man.
I'm not sure that's right. True.
Of the three of those, I would like to focus on that one.
Yeah,
I'm not sure that's what happened.
We were all surprised. We had no idea he was going to become a black jazz man from the 50s.
I thought we had a nice time with all of the interviews. And
you
the guys
always do.
Left happy, and it seemed like everything went fine. I don't know what you're talking about here. Allie, did you sense that people had a good time when they were visiting?
We had a great time. We had an even better time after when
right.
we looked into
when we all talked about it to
situation.
Each other. Said, did you hear what he said? Did you hear that? Oh, we had a good time.
Wait till Kevin hears about this.
It was strange because, as you know, Bean is painfully white.
Yeah.
Like almost transparently white.
Mm-hmm.
And nerdy to a fault.
That's true.
And so when he tries to, like, pick up the lingo that the kids are using
these days,
the kids in his mind are all Bobby Soxers from the 1940s or something.
Okay.
Here he is talking to Mike Shinoda, and for some reason... He thinks he's on one of those commercials for those the albums where they used to have all the love songs.
Oh, sure.
Remember,
yeah.
No, my brother, you've got to get your own. Remember that commercial?
Yes, I do.
Bean thinks he's in that commercial here.
Mike Shinoda, thank you so much for coming in, my brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, my brother.
My brother.
My brother, thanks for coming in, my brother. And power to the people. Stand with the withers.
Why did you say my brother?
Because it's not something that you ever say.
No, here's... So here's what I tried to explain to the kids last week.
And one more time. Let's hear to Superfly Bean, please.
Mike Shinoda, thank you so much for coming in, my brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you for coming in.
We've been having Linkin Park on the show.
And it wasn't brother. It was brother.
Of course.
Yeah. We've had Linkin Park on the show.
Right.
Right.
Since, I think, 1999 is the first time we had those guys on the show. And we were having a very nice time with Mr. Shinoda and reminiscing. And we were talking about, at the end of the interview, we were talking about that first time we had them play in the parking lot of that Best Buy. Remember,
right.
Kevin? They were there for a calendar signing. And
and Mike stood with the Black Panthers?
No. Right? Like
remember
2000...
you put your hands down and just your fists were in the air when you accepted your gold medals?
So 2000. Mike Shinoda, thank you so much for coming in, my brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, my brother. Come on.
So, like, 2,000 people showed up, and the police threatened to close the whole thing down, and it was really getting kind of scary and out of control. And it was the first time Mike was reminiscing that it was the first time that they realized how big this rocket ride was that they were on and how crazy things were getting for them that early in their career.
And did he call you my brother then on that day,
or
did you call him that on that day?
Did the police beat you down with their billy clubs because you were standing up for your rights?
But what was happening is I was getting a little bit emotional thinking about how long K-Rock has walked hand in hand with Linkin Park and how cool it was that we were kind of there to see that. And here we are all these years later and they're still doing great and they're still kind enough to come in and spend some time with them. And I was just feeling close to the man. That's all it was. So no, there's no crying at all. Oh. I was just feeling close to him. So I thought that would just be a reflection of the how I feel about him.
In the 1950s.
As a black man.
Mike Shinoda, thank you so much for coming in, my brother. We'll talk to you soon.
My brother.
He didn't seem offended by it at all.
No, my brother.
He seemed like he had a great time.
No.
Yeah, I thought it was
your
lovely.
You got to buy your own.
I'm sorry, what? Say it, Allie.
I thought it was lovely.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, my dear. I appreciate it.
My friend, or my good friend, or my longtime friend, or even thanks for coming in, brother. You know, that's different than my brother. That's different.
Yeah, I mean, you.
Was it the Mai?
Yes.
Okay, it was the Mai.
Well, it's all of it, but the Mai did not help it.
Okay.
At all.
Let's listen again and just to see.
Okay. We heard it. Mike Shinoda, thank you so much for coming in, my brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, but the Mai is a big part
of
it.
My brother.
Look, okay. You could take any sentence that anyone says and you could suggest other words that may have been more appropriate. But on the fly, that was emotional and that was.
Now you're saying you're fly?
Super
no,
fly.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Mike Shinoda, thank you so much for coming in, my brother. We'll talk to you soon.
So then Mike leaves.
Yeah, my brother.
And then we regroup. And then,
Sorry, my brother. We got to make room for some other jive cats that are coming in right now.
Mike Shinoda, thank you so much for coming in, my brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Come on, give me some skin and make your way out the door. Because we got some other fly guys coming by here to give us some, lay down some tracks, yo.
So then Mike, guitarist, Jose, drummer, and Brandon, singer, from Incubus are scheduled to come in. And Brandon was a little bit late. He was caught in some traffic. So we had the two guys in, and we were talking and debuting their brand new song.
And you said, what's happening with my brother? Is he stuck in traffic?
Apparently there was some complaint about the Incubus interview also, Ralph.
Yeah, because we're talking about drumming. Drums. That's all you have to say is drums.
Right.
Or drumming.
Well, yeah, you could say I like beats.
Yeah, that's like beats if you're
well, we had just played the Nimble Bastard single from Incubus, and Jose was like kind of, you know, he's the drummer on the track, and he's kind of playing along with it in the studio while we're listening to it, and I was noticing how hard he's hitting those drums on the track.
Yeah, that's not what you said.
I was just trying to make a comment about that.
You'd
because
say, wow, you're really hitting the drums hard on that track. That would have been one way to go, or you could have gone
You're hitting
way.
Those skins hard, my friend.
Thank you.
Mike, are they not called skins? Is that a drum?
No, yeah, whatever you want. Hey, whatever
awesome.
You want.
By the way, that's him laughing.
Right. That's the band laughing.
That's the drummer.
They're hitting those skins hard, my brother.
They're not called skins?
Not since Woodstock.
Let's listen for his answer. Yeah.
You're hitting those skins hard, my friend.
Thank you.
Mike, are they not called skins? Is that a drum?
No,
skins.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, whatever
you
want.
Hey,
awesome.
Whatever you want.
Whatever you want, whatever Grandpa. You want. It's adorable, Grandpa.
Hey, they're skins, my brother.
That's wasn't right, my brother.
Weren't drums for like 1,000 years yes. made from animal skins that they would? That's what they would hit, right?
Yeah, but nobody uses. See, the problem is that you don't get out into actual daily life where people talk and use sentences,
words.
And sometimes the language changes a little bit.
Right. Yes, they were made out of drum skins. Skins were made into drums for thousands of years, but this isn't the Paleolithic period.
Not so much anymore, you're saying.
It just no one has called them skins since the 1950s. Yeah.
You're hitting those skins hard, my friend.
Thank you.
Mike, are they not called skins? Is that a drum?
No, it's just awesome. Yeah, whatever you want.
Hey, whatever you want.
Pass me the reefer, my brother. Pound
Mike Shinoda, thank you so much for coming in, my brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Pound these skins while Miles is blowing the horn.
My brother?
My brother?
I think I do good
you?
Work. I think you do good work, too.
Actor, director, birthday boy Jordan Peele joins us next hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show, talking about his new horror film called Get Out. Also, just after 8, it's The Bachelor Report with Ralph and Petra. Speaking of The Bachelor, our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com on the phone with us right now. How are you, Harvey?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Very good. You get much traffic when you talk about The Bachelor over there on the site?
You know, let me look.
Because we were just talking about how that Nick is a zero.
Yeah, it's up there. It's up there.
Really?
It's not number one, but it's on the board.
Right. I'm getting the impression from looking at the site and catching up on what I missed over the weekend that Donald Trump draws a lot of eyeballs to TMZ.
Donald Trump is gold for every media outlet in the country.
Which is bizarre because he does brag about that, but he's right.
He's totally right.
You know what I'm saying? Like
he is totally right. And he boycotted CNN and they hurt as a result of that.
Oh,
you know,
interesting.
And you know, he's got this enormous power, which is he draws an audience, and all of these these media operations, don't be mistaken. This is not a constitutionally driven organization. They are in business to make money.
Right.
And money means ratings, because that's how you get advertisers. And Donald Trump is the king of ratings. He just
now,
is.
Do you feel like you are, as a journalist, Harvey, the enemy of the American people, as the president has described us?
Look, I don't think he said enemy of the American people, and I don't think when he says fake news media. He's, look, you know what he's doing. He's going after certain media outlets, and he thinks he didn't get a fair shake. I mean, here's my feeling about it. It's like, I don't think the public cares about this. You know, the media cares, but I don't think the public cares on either side. It's kind of like, you know, they're in a war with the media. Do you really think Joe Blow in Indiana is saying, oh, my God, Joe Blow in Indiana is worried about missiles pointing at the United States and money.
Right, but I also think the president is very smart with this strategy, because Joe Blow now, if the New York Times publishes something damaging about the president, can say, well, the media is not legit.
And but, I just read on Forbes, CNN's ratings are up 51% compared to this time last year.
You know what? There, I think you got to look at asterisks there, because last year was when it was during the primary, and you have to look at the period where he boycotted the network.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, you know, it's CNN. Listen, everybody's benefiting from Trump because the storyline is so damn interesting.
Yeah, and there's something new every day.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, when you think about it, if it was Jimmy Carter in office, it's like, it's not going to be crazy. It's not, you're not going to say, oh my God, this is better than any reality show in the sense of drawing people. It just
well, he's a reality TV star. He knows how to make those things, you know?
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about, because you had an interesting angle at TMZ.com, catching up with my friend Harvey Levin, like we do on the Kevin and Bean Show. And the president has taken a lot of heat for spending every weekend down in Florida. Not only is it a tremendous burden on the taxpayer that he keeps going down there, but a lot of people are concerned that he's in this Mar-a-Lago, which is a private club. It costs hundreds of thousands of dollars to be a member of, and it feels like the richest people in the world now have nothing but access to the president. And I understand that the people in town there, Harvey, not super jazzed about having the Southern White House there, right?
Well, I'll tell you, the people that are really, really hurting right now are the flight schools, because what they've done is when he goes down, they shut the flight schools down. You can't fly because the airport is 2.5 miles from Mar-a-Lago.
Oh, so wow.
We talked to a bunch of schools. One of them said, look, we are losing $7,000 a weekend when he is down here. And
is there a limit as how far from the Southern White House you can...
There's a whole limit. It's like a 10-mile radius. In fact, it's you if you're a private pilot, you have to land first, and you're going into Palm Beach International, you have to land at an adjacent airport first where they check your ID, where they check the plane,
wow.
Where they give you a code when you come into Palm Beach International that you have to use. So it's a whole ordeal. But the flight schools, this one told us they've lost $56,000 since he was inaugurated because they keep shutting it down. And, you know, and one of them actually, you know, it's interesting because remember the 9/11 terrorists, some of them went to flight school and some in Florida.
Right.
One of these flight schools told us, look, we're allowed to fly around Mar-a-Lago when the president's not there. But he said, I'm not even going to do that because I do not want this on my conscience. So he completely stays clear of that whole area.
How about that? I mean, I guess it sort of makes sense. I mean, it's so unlikely that it would happen. But if they didn't do this, then any guy could walk in off the street and go, yeah, I want a flying lesson. And then just drop something or crash into or whatever. And
it's an issue. It is an issue.
It's legitimate, but that really sucks for the people who are trying to run that flight school, doesn't it?
And not just one, but numerous flight schools down there. So, yeah, I mean, look, it has a ripple effect. It is both good and bad for business down there.
I mean, I can't blame the Secret Service for doing that. You know, I mean, I think it's a legitimate fear. All right, let's change topics one more time before you get into your meeting, Harvey, because I was happy to see Angelina Jolie looking so healthy, looking so well, out for the first time in a long time. And with all her kids and looking like she's pressing on. This is the first time she's been talked to since she and her husband Brad Pitt split, right?
Oh, I thought you were going to get into spiders.
Oh, no. Well, we can talk about spiders too, yeah. But I was just happy to see her out and about.
She's out and about. She's in Cambodia. And she was with one of her kids there. And by the way, this was a source of conflict between her and Brad about bringing her kids to, you know, to various places around the world.
Yeah, because she goes all over the world to not the safest countries in the world, right?
Right. But you know, she's eating these scorpions on video. I don't know if you saw this, but
I did.
Oh my God!
And tarantulas.
I didn't know this, but apparently. They have more protein than just about any other animal,
mm-hmm.
and there is this. There are people saying that at some point in the future, we're going to all be eating cockroaches,
nope.
which are just hugely.
That's not going to happen.
I know, but
it isn't.
I'm just saying.
I don't need protein that much.
I had been told that crickets are the solution to solve world hunger. If they could figure out a way to get enough of them, crickets would be better than and a lot more less harmful. Yeah, eco-friendly. Thank you, Harvey. Less harmful to the earth than raising cattle or anything like that. If you can get enough crickets, that's the way to go.
Plus, they're super clean.
Cattle could kill our world the way it is right now with the way they do this. Anyway, maybe Angelina Jolie is showing us what's on the menu in 10 years.
Who's hungry?
I won't be around to eat it, I'm sure.
You're going to pass on that one, I see.
No, I'm going to pass, exactly.
All right, TMZ.com is the entertainment record site of record. Don't forget TMZ all over your TV on Fox Channel 11. TMZ Live airs at 4, same channel 11. TMZ Sports airs Monday through Friday at midnight on Fox Sports 1. Harvey, we love you. Thanks for coming on. We'll do it again next week, all right?
Okay, guys, we'll see you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. All right, phone lines are open for your calls, 1-800-520-1067, early morning edition of What's Good. What are we looking for here, Bean?
Well, let me see. There's, obviously a lot of stuff happened over the weekend. If you got any comments about the NBA All-Star Game and everything that went down over the weekend. Allie, you've got a new favorite TV show that you're in love with, right?
Big Little Lies on
Big
HBO.
Little Lies.
So good.
A lot of ladies in that show. I don't know if that's for me.
Yeah, it's a female-driven show, and it's amazing.
My new favorite is Legion on FX. Are you guys watching Legion?
Why can't we talk about my favorite
show
for 5 seconds?
Oh, we can. I'm sorry.
Kevin.
I apologize. We can talk about yours, too. I thought we were all throwing something in.
If you lost your car in a sinkhole this weekend, I would be interested in hearing from you, because that apparently is a thing, that weather, if you had any crazy stories. I mean, really, we open it up for you because you have a much more interesting life than we do. What went on in your weekend? What went on in your thoughts? What was in your timeline that you found interesting? We want to hear from you on any topic, your chance to be on the show. It's Kevin Means What's Good, 1-800-520-1067. Call now. We'll put you on the air next on K-Rock. If you've often thought the only thing that can make the Kevin and Bean Show better is if I were on it, now is your chance. We're taking your calls on any topic at 1-800-520-1067. We call it What's Good. Hit it, Steve.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify.
That's good indeed. All right. Why don't we start with our man, Tom. He is in Montebello, and he's on line 3. He's up first on the Kevin and Bean Show for this edition of What's Good.
Hey, Tom.
What's up, guys? Hey, Allie.
Hey, Tom.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's good?
Oh, man. The WWE show tickets I won from you guys last week were awesome.
Oh, this was the Sunday night and the Monday night?
Yep.
Thing, yeah.
Yeah, Sunday, it just blew the roof off of the arena. I mean, it was just a small show, but everybody went nuts when they saw their favorite show, their favorite wrestler, even when the Big Show made a surprise appearance. And then yesterday, the tickets were right next to the announcer's table. And
what?
Left.
What? Yep. What? That's a mistake.
You must have gotten somebody else's tickets, Tom.
Yeah, but you know what? I didn't realize how loud and extreme. I know Kevin went like this. The pyros went off, you know, big
sure.
boom.
Yeah, wow. I like big boom. I like.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
The Rock
showed up, surprised everybody before the show, and then after the show was over, they did a filming of the new documentary they're doing about one of the wrestlers at the end.
And I heard he called CM Punk, and everybody chanted for him on his voicemail.
Oh yeah, and then he called back, and then I guess they came from the back, and they told him, "Don't do it. Don't call him," because they were cutting him off, and then. And then before the show, the boss came out and told him he's fired.
No. I hate when that happens.
Sounds like we missed a great night. For a lot of people who have made fun of the WWE for a long time, they know how to entertain a crowd.
They do. That's
for
sure.
The people who go to that thing have a fantastic time. And, Tom, I'm so happy that you won the tickets from us and that you had a good time.
And all the guys who won, we all sat together on both shows, and we were, like, awesome. We're all knocking it back with a couple of drinks, and we're just having too much fun with everybody.
All right.
We love it.
All right.
That
a very successful
fun.
Evening. Thanks for the call, Tom, and thanks for listening. We appreciate it. Let's go to Santa Ana, line 4. This is going to be Adrian up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Adrian.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
Hey, I don't know if you guys heard, but on Friday, the band Guttermouth, their tour band got broken into, and they lost all their gear.
That happened. Like, once a year, it seems to happen to some band, and it sucks so bad, doesn't it?
Yeah,
because this is how they make a living. They're driving around in their tiny little van just trying to get gig to gig. Somebody steals all their stuff, and then what? So what are they doing about it?
There's a GoFundMe, so www.gofundme.com/guttermouth, and then you can contribute and help them get through their tour.
All right.
They were 4 days in on a 30
least they could have waited till they were pretty much ready to stop. Take a break.
Houston. It's always Houston, right,
it happened,
Adrian?
In Houston. Here we go. Only 4 days into a month-long tour, Guttermouth had their van broken into while in Houston. Almost all of their gear, personal belongings, and money were stolen from the van at a loss of more than $10,000. Let's help them get the help they need to continue on. Thanks in advance. Listen to this. Here's some great news for you, Adrian. I don't know if you've been to the page today. They have 199 people have donated in 2 days. They are over $7,000 on their way toward the $10,000 goal.
All right.
So I think they're going to make it. That is awesome that their fans are coming through like that. All right. Appreciate the call, sir. Let's go to Erica Monrovia up next, line two on the Kevin and Bean Show.
All right. Hi, Erica. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, Kevin and Bean. I just wanted to say that yesterday, me and my 12-year-old sister, we're kind of experimenting with a little makeup, and she's usually a tomboy, you know, like, she always dresses in, like, baggy clothes and all of that.
Right.
And me and my mom always find it hard to tell her that she's beautiful and that she should, you know, value herself and give herself a little bit more credit than she has been.
Right.
So we had a lot of fun, and as soon as I was done and I, you know, put her hair up in a ponytail and she looked in the mirror, she started crying because she realized that, you know, she is beautiful just the way she is. I'm not saying that, you know, she needs makeup to
help.
Not
really, because she's beautiful once you did the makeover. Am I right?
Yeah, so she kind of, like, realized that, hey, you know, all in good time, and, you know, we'll get it.
So you're never going to let her leave the house again unless you spend, like, an hour on her getting her tuned up, right?
Oh, yeah, no. You should see my dad's face. As soon as he saw her, he was like, what's going on?
Yeah.
You know,
he must have panicked.
Yeah, panicked a lot. So she's, watch out.
So, Allie, you speak, girl. Help me through this. What's going on in this kid's mind?
I'm sorry?
What's going on?
It's just, it's all about self-esteem. It's her sister's self-esteem was low. And
they made her feel better, and times are going to...
So this is we're happy. This is a good story.
Yes,
very sweet, then. Yeah. Thank you, Erica. I just wanted to make sure we were all on the same page. So we're loving what happened to the
sister.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Why, you need that explained?
Good job, Erica. Thanks for calling. This has been
What's Good.
Hey, congratulations to Jacob Gonzalez from Pico Rivera. He just won the K-Rock Storm's Bear Mountain weekend trip that we're doing this coming Saturday. Allie, you were just at Bear Mountain over the weekend yourself?
Big Bear.
Big Bear. Amazing snow.
A lot of
bears. Amazing snow this year, right? A four-pack of lift tickets to K-Rock Storm's Bear Mountain this Saturday. A free K-Rock concert. Listen to this. On the deck with Andrew McMahon in the Wilderness, who's great. Kay Flay and DJ Jeremiah Red. All that happening, plus lift tickets? I mean, come on. It's a good deal. It's happening on Saturday. We got your chance to win all day long here on the Kevin Bean Show and throughout the week on K-Rock. Details at K-Rock.com. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Did you hit the black diamonds, Allie?
Oh, yeah. Like you read about. I had cocktails.
Are you slalom? Are you slaloming? Are you a slalomer?
Cocktails in a cabin, mostly.
That's...
Yeah.
So you went up there and sit by the fire?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can't do that locally, Kevin.
I mean, that's an idea.
Did you know there's no fires?
You know, there's no fireplaces.
There's snow within you guys.
But you're not.
Yeah,
in
but
it.
You're in the inside with a fire and a cocktail.
Lived in Park City for 10 years. I've snowboarded and skied enough.
How far did you drive to not snowboard and ski though? That's
you know
our
what?
Point.
I did the same thing this weekend. I also not snowboarded and not skied.
You did?
Yeah.
Did you see snow and it was wonderful and very peaceful and that's all you needed?
I grew up in Philadelphia. I've seen enough snow.
Well, that's not snow. That's like brown snow.
That's murder. That's murder snow.
Yeah.
Ugh. It's not murder snow.
I mean, come on now.
Yeah.
What does that mean? It's
Remember,
murder snow.
I was trying to make a joke on
murder sleet. Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
But no. Let's move on, can we?
Why not?
How about that?
Soldier Boy says his boxing match with Chris Brown is off. Darn it. We're all looking forward to the Soldier Boy Chris Brown fight. All right, no one
That
cares.
Was always odd.
No cares,
well, I never thought it would happen anyway.
Really?
It was only when Mike Tyson got involved that thing kind of took flight, but I don't know.
I mean, I think I was hoping it would happen just because any opportunity for Soldier Boy to get hit in the face, I'm for.
What about Chris Brown getting hit in the face?
Right?
I mean, seriously.
Don't you want him to get hit more than Soldier Boy?
Amen.
Yes, I want them both to hurt.
But you picked Soldier Boy.
Yeah, Chris Brown would have been better.
That was a mistake.
All right, my brother.
All right, my brother.
Soulja Boy tweeted on Sunday that Chris Brown was scared of him and refused to sign off on the fight. So, that's why it's off. I get the feeling this is not over. Just the actual fighting is over, but the the tweeting and the bitching and the moaning and the complaining.
Oh, because he was afraid.
Oh, you're afraid.
He was afraid.
I'm not afraid. You're afraid of this in my pants. Right? That's going to be a lot of that.
I hope.
It's like in the schoolyard when kids wouldn't actually throw blows. Hold me back. Hold me back. You're the worst. I would kill you if these guys weren't holding me back. I said, hold me back. It's a Tuesday, but we're going to treat it like a Monday and take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. The Lego Movie, in its second week, still number one, $42.5 million. 50 Shades Darker was two at the box office. The Great Wall debuted with $21.7 million, made it number three. John Wick Chapter 2 was fourth. Fistfight! Ice Cube, Charlie Day, debuted with $14.5 million, made it number five. Hidden Figures, Split, A Dog's Purpose, La La Land, Lion were your top 10 films at the box office. Then A Cure for Wellness, the brand new film with Dane DeHaan, just outside the top 10 and number 11 with $5 million.
That's a lot for outside the top 10, isn't it? $5
million? It's not a lot for a movie that opened wide this weekend.
Oh, okay.
I was only talking about it because we talked to Gore Verbinski, the director of that, last week, and a lot of people said they were looking forward to that film, but not a lot of people went.
Then they heard our interview.
Oh, come on now. He's a nice guy.
He is.
At any point, did Bean say?
Mike Shinoda, thank you so much for coming, my brother. We'll talk to you soon.
No, that would have been useful.
Right?
It wasn't dynamic.
It wasn't. At least it went two breaks, so we had that going for us. So that all worked out. George Harrison is dead.
What?
Yeah. However,
there's
not an announcement. However, a Porsche he once owned is being put up for auction, and turns out Beetle cars can raise some money. Apparently, a 37-year-old bought the car in 2003 for spare parts, and he was about to take it apart when his wife looked in the car's logbook, only to find out it was one of more than 100 sports cars that George Harrison owned. He loved his cars. And she ran out with the book to the guy and said, stop breaking it down for parts. It belongs to George Harrison. And Raj Sedah of Leeds, England said,
who?
Who's George Harrison?
Oh, no.
I was just kidding.
Absolutely right, Kevin.
I was just kidding.
How old weren't. Was he? How old was he?
30, no, doesn't say here. Doesn't say
but you said England?
Yeah, Leeds, England.
Wow.
Crazy, right?
Wow.
You think you need to pass that test just to stay in the country. Name the four Beatles.
Yeah, you're allowed to not know a lot of stuff as a young person. You must know who the Beatles are. That's a requirement.
Beans rules!
I'm just saying.
The car then sat in the guy's garage for 8 years. He finally decided to restore and sell it. And it is a starting bid. Apparently, it's going up for auction on March 17th. $25,000 is what it'll start at, so we'll see how much it gets. But for a Porsche owned by a Beetle, I bet it'll go for a pretty penny. We'll wait and see.
The guy said who?
He said who?
Wow.
It's crazy.
What do you have to do
to
be
remembered? Surprised by that.
I don't know. I don't know if anybody gets remembered anymore, man. All we are is dust in the wind.
Right? Heard that.
It's sad. Happy Monday, everybody. Oh, it's Tuesday. Never mind. Today's celebrity birthdays. Kelsey Grammer is 62 years old. Jennifer Love Hewitt celebrates her 38th birthday. Ashley Greene is 30. Ellen Page is 30. Sophie Turner is 21. And Jordan Peele, funny man, writer, director, actor, Obama, all those things. He's 38 years old today, and you guys are going to talk to him just a little bit.
That's correct.
It's very exciting. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So many ways to get in touch with the program through the social media. The Kevin and Bean Facebook account or the Instagram or the Twitter is fine. You can always text the show at the number 2KROQ. You can send us an old-fashioned email, or you can leave us a voicemail message when you're drunk in the middle of the night on the weekend. That's fine, too. 323-520-AFRO. That's our 24-hour-a-day voicemail line. A lot of people calling. What's going on?
So, I'm at the Zero Club again. I don't know. I mean, is it just me? Does it kind of lose its edge? I mean, You guys always made it sound like, oh, like every day it's like a line of cocaine, but I don't know. I mean, that first time was cool. I mean, like, do I need to up the ante? Do I need to make the Zero Club naked now while smuggling drugs in my ass? Like, I don't know. It's,
yes?
We need to find a way to make the Zero Club great again.
Huh.
I think he's onto something. I think he ups the ante every time.
I like it, as long as he does it.
Right.
We've been talking about Beer Mug and the problem that his hair is going away, and he's not a big fan of that.
Fire Beer Mug's hair!
It's already been done, sir.
This guy's calling because I and Allie both are Kings fans, and things didn't necessarily go perfectly this weekend.
Hey, Kevin. Quack, quack, quack. Suck it.
I mean, quack, though.
Right, you're still saying quack.
So bad.
Yeah,
so
agreed.
Bad.
Allie has a nice little new song.
Jane is special. Do you want to see it? Take a look.
And
that's going to be a Broadway play.
That, of course, now this guy called and he wants to be a part of your Broadway play.
Oh.
Hey, Allie.
My penis is special. Do you want to see it? Take a look. And fire beer mug.
I mean.
So he's got to get out.
Yeah, it's good.
Oh, man, can't get this darn lawnmower started. Ellie, want to help me out? Come on, Ellie. Come on, Ellie.
Smell it.
I don't want to do this by myself. Ellie!
Did he do that?
I'm not positive.
Holy crap.
I'm not positive if he did or not because we put up the piece, we put up the raw audio so that people could remix their own.
That's nice.
So it's very possible that that did happen.
Good.
Kevin and Big, what up, homeboys? Still from Fresno. Hey, so I just kind of wanted to call and thank you guys. I'm the original, oh my God, it's raining, Afro caller from about 15 years ago.
How about that, Bean? How about that? The guy called 15 years ago with this.
Oh my God, it's raining!
And we've been playing it ever since.
Every time it rains, we pull out that piece of tape. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was your guys' first attempt at Fresno Radio here. Not the second failed one, but the first one. I just want to say thanks. You've kind of catapulted me to legendary status amongst my friends by playing that drop so much this rainy season. Truly appreciate that. We still get the podcast here. Fresno, what you sipping?
Remember Fresno, what you sipping?
I loved Fresno, what you sipping.
No, you didn't.
I did.
No,
I thought it was hilarious.
You loved the memory of it. It was terrible.
Was it not good? But didn't people call up and tell us what they were sipping?
Yes, but it was...
Well, it was
what's
super
not to like about that?
Right, it sounds funny, but if you actually listen to it, it sucks. I'm going to tell you this, and I'm having all the feels now about this caller. What's the caller's name? Do you remember from Fresno?
I don't.
We were on in Fresno for a few months, and we've actually broadcast. We actually went up to Fresno, and we broadcast from there. The nicest people in the world.
Yeah, I agree.
What a much lovelier town than I would ever have anticipated. I really, really enjoyed it there, and it made me sad when we went away.
Remember our slogan?
Our slogan was Fresno, Fresno, yes.
Oh, you
right?
Guys.
Right? That was our slogan? Those were good times.
Were they?
But somebody saw the light and realized that our show sucks, so they pulled it. But still, I'm glad that we were able to pick up a few listeners like this caller. And thank you for your service, sir.
This guy is calling about being talking to Mike Shinoda and calling him my brother.
Mike Shinoda, thank you so much for coming in, my brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, Bean. I heard the show today. Assalamu alaikum, my brother. Fight the power. The struggle is real. Bean lives matter.
I agree with every word that man said.
And then Bean was talking to Incubus and was talking about drumming, called it hitting the skins.
Yeah. You're hitting those skins hard, my friend.
Thank you.
Also, Mike, are they not called skins? Is that a drum?
Whatever you want.
Hey, whatever you want.
Bean, what's happening, my brother? Why don't you slap them skins? I'm going to take this bass line for a walk. Ivy, kick to them ivories. Tell Beer Mug I'm out of Lucky Strikes.
All of those things are legitimate, and I'm with you, sir.
Wait. So I'm listening to the Wednesday podcast, and Kevin said, oh, I was reaching for the commercial, but a chip grabbed my hand. Wait, are you telling me that you guys let Kevin be in charge of anything? Actually, you don't just have him, like, you know, with a microphone in front of him, and that's it? He's the one who, like, turns on people's microphones and works the control. Like, Okay. No. This isn't Kevin's fault. This is your fault. Everybody who lets Kevin be in charge of buttons and button control and sound effects, no. You all have yourselves to blame, okay?
That guy makes a good point.
Yeah, he is not wrong.
Hey, party people. I caught 50 Shades Darker over the weekend. Don't ask. And it opens with the new cover of The Scientist. You know that Coldplay song, that real sweet, done by that artist Corinne Ray Bale, Bay Rayleigh.
How dare you?
Corinne Bale Riley. Corinne Bale Bailey. I don't know. Kevin, do you have any idea how to pronounce this chick's name?
Corinne Bale Ray. An unforgettable moment with Corinne Bale Ray. Wow. Corinne Bale Ray. An unforgettable moment with Let's do it again.
Yeah. Boy, that Kevin's truly magic, though I think it's kind of tragic he can't even say a name. His retardation slightly mild, they must have dropped him as a child. I think his parents are to blame.
How dare you?
Hey, guys, I have been trying to call the Afro line for 2 days now. The number apparently is not 323-520 HFRO. You know, honestly, I just thought I could trust the host of the show, but apparently not.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
323-520 AFRO 24 hours a day.
No
still
H.
Afro with an H?
There's no H.
Yeah. Half-ro?
That was a moment with Kevin.
You can dial that number, but you probably can't leave a message there. Mm-hmm. It is 323-520-AFRO. We'll take a break. We will come back and talk to Jordan Peele, the writer and director of Get Out next.
So, Kevin, you were out on Friday.
Yes.
We did the grand prize drawing for the Wheels Up Destination number 3. This was the deal where you could see any band in the world that was playing Coachella. You could see them when they played at another country later on.
Right.
And the guy we called was named Aragon, wasn't it?
Are you
asking me?
No, I'm asking Ellie.
Oh, okay.
It was something Lord of the Rings-ish.
It was Aragon from Lord of the Rings, okay. Right? And this guy was so awesome and so happy to win that he had already picked out his trip. He was going to go, if I remember correctly, he was going to go see Radiohead in Sweden.
All right.
By the way, before we heard about all the terrible things that are going on in Sweden from the president. But he was going to go see Radiohead in Sweden, and he was just an awesome winner. And I'm so excited whenever we do these grand prize drawings. And listen to this one that we're doing this week. This is K-Rock Wheels Up 2017, Destination number 4. AFI in Glasgow, Scotland. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Either see AFI and that's great, or you go to Scotland and that's great. But to get to do them both is unbelievable. So here's what we're doing. Giving away passes to go see AFI in the HD radio sound space right here at K-Rock. So you win that already. And then you're in the grand prize drawing that we do for the round trip airfare and the hotel and the $500 spending cash. And then if you win that, you get the AFI in Glasgow, Scotland. And we're going to be doing that all week long here on the Kevin and Bean Show just after 9 a.m. and then throughout the day at K-Rock from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Keep listening for your chance to win. All the details, again, at krock.com.
Last time we talked to Jordan Peele was when we talked to Jordan Peele and Keegan-Michael Key in April about Keanu.
Mm-hmm.
That movie that they had done about stumbling around gangsters' houses trying to find this stupid little cat.
Well, not stupid.
And it was hilarious.
Stupid cat.
So then I saw the trailer for this new movie called Get Out, and it's written and directed by Jordan Peele. So I kept waiting for it to turn funny.
For the laugh, yeah.
Yeah, because they, to me, are hilarious.
Right.
So, and it didn't come. It was like, you watch it, it's like, this is straight horror movie.
It was one of the most terrifying trailers I'd seen in a long time.
It's just a white girl with a black boyfriend, and she takes him home, and apparently there's all kinds of racism going on there and all kinds of problems going in there, and it's straight scary. Here's some of the trailer from that movie.
So look, I go do my research. Apparently a whole bunch of brothers been missing in this suburb.
But it's cool.
Bro, how you not scared of this, man?
Couldn't see no brother around here.
Chris was just telling me how he felt much more comfortable with my being here.
Yo. Sorry, man.
Get out! Yo!
Rose, we gotta go.
Is everything okay?
Rose, the keys. If there's too many white people, I get nervous.
And for good reason.
Look, same. I get nervous around too many white people. I can't imagine how the man Chris in this movie feels. All right, it's always a pleasure to welcome Jordan Peele to the program. He, of course, is writer, director, comedian, actor, producer,
birthday
Emmy
boy.
Winner, and birthday boy, Jordan Peele. How are you, sir?
Hey, thank you, and thank you for that. That was very sweet.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on. We were just talking about how you you confounded Kevin's expectations because he saw, oh, new film from Jordan Peele. This is going to be hilarious. And then he saw the trailer and he's like, uh-oh, what did I just see? And I'm sure you've encountered that a lot, that for the first time, when people first figure out what this movie's about, they're surprised, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, people can't. You know, a lot of people can't tell necessarily. Like, okay, is he doing comedy? This is a thriller. This is a horror movie. It's basically like the horror version of Guess Who's Coming to Dinner,
right?
And which is kind of, you know, it's got like, okay, it's got a little comedy sound to it, but you know, I assure you, I took it very seriously. There are laughs in it, but it's not a comedy. There's no jokes.
So, Jordan, gotcha. Is this a like things jump out at you, or is it more of a butthole pucker?
What?
Oh, he knows.
I got a little bit of everything. You got some jump scares. You got some butt puckers.
He said puckers. He said puckers.
With a P, right?
Yes, I said that with a P.
Just need to clarify.
I'm sure, yeah.
Now, is this a form of movie that you've always wanted to do? Have you always wanted to do a horror movie?
Oh, yeah. This is my favorite genre.
It is. Yeah.
I mean, I've always been, you know, Candyman, The Shining, you know, the Nightmare on Elm Street, all my favorites.
I got to tell you, I love the genre as well, but there's so many disappointments in that genre where they can make a trailer that looks scary as hell, and then when you go to the movie, you know, it's not that good.
Yeah.
And right. Chip had a chance to see the movie yesterday and said, it's that good. It's every bit as good as the trailer looks and better. So I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, thank you, man. Yeah, you know, I wanted, you know, every time you're watching a horror movie and the lead just does something stupid and you just want to yell at the screen, get out. call the cops, do something, run. Don't walk backwards, walk forward, you know. That whole thing. I wanted to make a movie with that sort of satisfies that instinct, that horror audience.
Now, Jordan, as a fan of comedy also your whole life, I want to know if you thought of the same thing I thought of when the words Get Out came up, which is that Eddie Murphy bit that he used to do about how dumb white people were because all the time they're in these houses with ghosts or something and they hear Get Out and they never leave. He said if it was a black person, the black person would take the clue and get out.
That's right. It would be Get Out. Too bad we can't stay, baby.
That was so funny.
This is a great classic Eddie Murphy.
So you get a chance to write and direct this movie, and then this looks like a dream cast. I mean, you must feel like as a director how blessed you are to have people like Bradley Whitford and Catherine Keener and Daniel Kaluuya and people like that who are so, so good in this movie.
Yeah, and it's in my first film too. It's really an honor, and the entire cast just really really delivers. It's an ensemble piece, and we've got and some real breakouts from this too. Little Rel Howery is like, you know, he's the guy. He's on Carmichael's show. He's a stand up, and he plays a very realistic character, but he's just very funny because he's the guy who's kind of saying what the audience wishes somebody would say. You know what I mean?
Did you film this before Lakeith blew up from Atlanta?
You know, we did. We shot this before Atlanta came out, and you know, I'd known Lakeith's work from, you know, Short Term 12, and of course he was in Compton as Snoop. He's just one of those kind of guys who's just, he's so magnetic, and what I didn't realize about him that I got to know working with him is he's so he's just so dedicated. He'll really put his all into the role. And I had him doing some pretty like physical things. So
we're talking to writer director Jordan Peele about his new film in theaters everywhere this Friday, which is called Get Out. It's one of the most anticipated movies of the year. Were you surprised by anything that happened in the audience screenings that you've seen of this, Jordan? Did people react in ways you weren't expecting them to?
You know, people reacted better than I was expecting. I knew some of this stuff would work, but you know, there's some moments where I thought, you know, maybe I'm going too far with this. Maybe they're not, you know, maybe I'm going to lose some people, but I got to say, like, the audience was there in full force, and they loved it. They responded to minute, and we got, you know, we're dealing with 100% on Rotten Tomatoes right now.
Holy cow.
I mean, honestly, how many people get 100%? That has to feel so good.
It's surreal, man. You know, it's like, it's just to know that people get, and it is like, it's a movie I didn't think was ever going to get made.
Right.
It's a risk just from the concept. It's a risk.
Yeah.
You know? But they, you know, I was lucky to have the support of the producers and Universal, and yeah, now we have this big risky movie, and people are getting it.
That's fantastic. I know that you have to run, and I hate to end on a sour note, but I mean, you have to stop making movies now. It's 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, it's the only direction
to go is down.
That's right.
Call it a career, man.
I need some people to. I need some people to give me some rotten so I can.
There you go.
Somewhere to go. Yeah. No. It'll who knows if it'll stay there? That's probably improbable, just due to odds. But you know, everyone that walks out of this movie that I talk to had fun, but you know, they think about it over the next couple of days too. So
that's great. Well, you couldn't ask for any more than that. The film is called Get Out. It's in theaters everywhere this Friday. We will definitely be seeing this again. Happy birthday, Jordan! Thanks for spending some of your special day talking to the Kevin Bean Show. We always enjoy having you on, sir.
Thank you, guys. Always a pleasure to be here.
Thank you, man.
Less than a half an hour away or so from this week's Bachelor Report, Ralph and Petro's breakdown last night's episode. Last night you watched it, Kevin. It was the hometown visits, right?
Yep.
Nick gets to meet all the crazy parents involved.
Oh, Nick is such a zero. Wow.
You have mentioned that.
What a loser.
You're not impressed by Bachelor Nick.
What a loser.
Well, anyway, that'll be coming up just after 8 o'clock. First, though, is anyone concerned, or is this business as usual to have a Russian spy ship just 30 miles off the coast of the eastern United States?
I feel like it happens every year, but now it's just more in the news because it's, you know, Russia and what are they up to type of thing. But
Russia has been in the news a lot lately, that's for sure.
It seems concerning.
This is the Viktor Leonov is the name of the ship. It is it was off the coast of Connecticut, and President Trump was asked about it in his press conference last week, and he just kept saying, not good, not good, not good, not good, over and over again. Well, it has now moved. It is now off the coast of Virginia. Now, apparently international waters is everything past 12 miles, so it's legal that it's there, and they think it is there doing some surveillance on what the U.S. Navy is up to. But I don't love it.
No.
I'm not crazy about it. But we thought we might find out more about it. We asked Dave, and you're not going to believe this, but he said it was actually possible for us to get somebody on board the Viktor Leonov. And I think we have the captain of the ship. It is Yuri Palenkadakov on the phone right now. Is that right, Captain?
Beautifully done. It's amazing. Your accent is spot on. I think you're from Leningrad.
Would you pronounce it for me, sir?
Yuri Palenkadakov.
Okay. It does sound better coming out of you. Yeah.
Thank you. Yes. Many things are better coming out of me.
So welcome to America, almost.
I can see you. Hello. Hello, America. I can see you from where I am out the window looking at you.
Yes,
hello.
You're very close.
Close to America, yes.
Right. Would it be okay? Would you mind if we ask what's going on? Like, why are you here?
Hey, what's going on with you?
I mean, I think he means in a larger meaning, like...
Oh, like geopolitically, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, like, what's the purpose of your visit?
I'm just visiting, hello? Mm-hmm.
You're visiting very close to the U.S. Navy submarine operations, though.
Yes, but that's coincidental.
I see.
Oh. I mostly want, first of all, to see Connecticut.
Connecticut, right.
Yes, to get some of your famous Connecticut hot dog soups.
Nope. I don't think that exists.
I can't get that in the Mother Russia, so I have to come to Connecticut so I can get some hot dog soups.
I don't think hot dog soup is a thing.
Sounds delicious, though, doesn't it?
No, it sounds terrible.
Sounds delicious. See, for a home country, that'd be delicacy. So, but then they said, no, go down the coast there to Virginia.
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 Virginia. Virginia.
Virginia.
Yeah. All right, so what are you doing in Virginia?
I'm there to get some of the famous Virginia clam dogs.
Clam dogs?
Yes. some of those dogs that help you for the digging up of clams.
That's okay. Not a thing.
It's not a thing, and it
they
sounds like
do. You take them to the beach, and they find all clams for you.
Oh, yeah, they no. dig?
Sure.
I feel like you're just making
the trees, wherever they come from.
You're just making things up so you can get closer to the coast.
Visiting. I'm social call for me to look at you.
Social call?
Yes,
doesn't
it's
sound like
for
it.
All the delicacy foods you are having.
So it has nothing to do with gathering intelligence on our submarine program.
Oh, we're friends now. We're practically same country.
I mean, I don't think we're practically the same country.
You have you're no sure? idea. I know so many more things than you. But I'm happy being here. Now I'm going to work way down the East Coast to your Florida next.
Oh, what do you
Florida.
Want to see there?
Okay.
I just want to get some orange juice. I like orange juice.
Here we go.
Here we go.
I like orange juice. What can I tell you?
Grape juice?
Yes.
Tomato juice?
Yes. Orange juice, and then I bomb you.
Oh, wow. One of 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:52.
He shows up, but now he eats when he talks.
That caught me by surprise. That's
you've just given up, right? You work a couple days a week, and when you show up, you're—what are you, drunk or high or what's going on? You're just face full of food.
I think he's Del Tacoing this morning, isn't he?
Taco Bell,
mm-hmm. Taco Bell. Yeah.
All right, mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll let you finish up on that while Ralph takes a look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday, just ahead of the Bachelor Report. Can't wait for that coming up right off the top of the hour, like we do.
It's Tuesday, but we're going to treat it like Monday when we take a look at the weekend's hot movies at the box office, top 10 films. Over the four-day President's Day weekend, the Lego Movie, no surprise, Lego Batman Movie, number one again for the second week in a row. 42.
Ralph Garman's Lego Batman Movie is what I'm calling it, by the way.
Well, that would be poorly advised, if you were calling it that. $42.5 million made it number one this weekend. 50 Shades Darker, $23.3 million was number two. The Great Wall debuted with $21.7 million. That was good enough to make it number three. John Wick, Chapter 2, and Fist Fight. Were the top five films. Hidden Figures, Split, A Dog's Purpose, La La Land, and Lion were the rest of the top 10. George Michael passed away almost 2 months ago, but there's still a lot of drama surrounding his death. A longtime friend named Andros Georgiou spouted off to the British tabloid The London Sun that his boyfriend, George Michael's boyfriend, Fadi Fawaz, was not welcome to the funeral, and the family downright hates him.
Oh, no. Oh,
yeah. Now, Mr. Fawaz lashed out on Twitter over the weekend saying it wasn't true. And, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But it turns out the funeral itself has now been postponed because doctors have requested to perform more tests on George Michael's body before they lay him to rest.
I'm always surprised when those kinds of testing go on for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks.
Yeah, what are they?
Something's up.
What could they be looking for?
Well, they're trying, I'm sure, to pinpoint the exact cause of death.
Hmm.
I mean, there definitely was something up because one minute, according to sources, he was alive, and then wham, he died. So, I'm just saying, it's unusual. It was unusual circumstances, and so doctors are really taking their time to look into it.
You proud of that?
Yeah, I am. Ian Fleming's James Bond novels and movies, if you know anything about them, you know the head of the British Secret Service was a man known only as M. Well, turns out M was a real person.
Is that right?
Yes. His name was Maxwell Knight, and he was known as MI5, which is the British military intelligence. MI5's greatest spy master. And so now they've written a book about him, and as you can imagine, they are making a movie about him. Based on that book. So we'll get to see soon the real guy behind M. Who always was sort of like an old dude smoking a pipe in the Bond movies. I'm assuming he'll probably be more exciting in the new film, I hope. Just a guy behind it. Yes, 007, leave that gun behind. Don't you? Pick up your file for Moneypenny on the way out, please. And just in 2 hours of that guy just talking to a phone behind a desk would not be exciting. That's what I'm saying.
Ralph, when do you suppose we will hear some sort of announcement as to the next movie in the James Bond series? And who will be James Bond?
I don't know.
Okay.
All right.
I have no information on that. They haven't even really officially announced that Daniel Craig won't be the next Bond.
Yeah. I feel like it's time, don't you?
Yes.
All right, everybody, listen. Bean's ready.
I'd take a Bond movie every year if they give me one. But
yeah, I'm just saying, based on the amount of time usually between James Bond movies, I feel like they should have made that announcement and be starting to work on it by now.
I don't know what to tell you, my brother.
I don't like it. Just,
we haven't heard anything.
I'll just be over here hitting the skins and waiting to hear news, I guess.
You just bang on those skins.
Mike Shinoda, thanks so much for coming in, my brother. We'll talk to you soon.
I don't know what to tell you. Over there on those bones. Sammy, tickling the ivories.
Bean, who would your first choice be?
Mine would be Idris Elba. Mm-hmm. Did I say his name right?
You did.
That would be my first.
Yeah.
He'd be great.
I think Daniel Craig is fantastic. I'd be very happy if he re-upped to do some more.
Or DJ Qualls.
Oh.
For example. Another excellent choice.
It's a departure, but I like it.
Yeah. Cheech Marin for me.
Love it.
Yeah.
I would like that direction.
I think Cheech would be the way to go. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Sophie Turner from Game of Thrones and X-Men is 21 years old today. Ellen Page turns 30 years old. Just saw Juno again not too long ago, a couple weeks ago. I was flicking through the cable listings, and there it was. I just stopped, and every time I see it, I'm just stuck. I'm hooked.
It's a great movie.
Yeah. Ashley Green, 30 years old today. Jennifer Love Hewitt turns 38. Jordan Peele, our good friend Jordan Peele, who just was on the show talking about his new movie, Get Out, 38 years old today. And actor Kelsey Grammer, best still known probably as Frasier, 62 years old today. Oh, for God's sakes, Niles! It's the only line I can do as Kelsey Grammer. Really. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Monday night today on ABC Channel 7 is a show called The Bachelor. It's in its 21st season, you guys. And Nick has been on every single season, yet has still been unable to find love. So he's trying again. At least you can't accuse him of quitting, right?
Correct, yeah.
He's still out there trying for love.
I like your tone. It sounds insincere to me.
How dare you? I do know that Petrus is on the phone. That means it's time for The Bachelor Report. Hit it, Steve.
It's time. We got the Big P and Gar, man, and they watch The Bachelor, so you don't have to, man. Girls drinking, hallelujah.
Woo!
Girls crying, hallelujah.
Woo!
Girls crazy, hallelujah.
Woo!
The Bachelor Report, we're gonna give it to you.
Woo!
The Bachelor Report, we're gonna give it to you. The Bachelor Report, we're gonna give it to you. The Bachelor Report is in the spot, so you don't have to watch.
How you feeling, Pete? What's up?
I'm pretty good, man, but you know, this time of the year, Ralph, this time of the season of loving in the Bachelor season is all the conflict and the cattiness between the women gives way to the cheesiest of romance.
How dare you?
And the creepiest looking family.
I don't feel like P's here for the right reasons.
You're not.
I never have been.
It's love. And we're in the best time of season because you know why?
Why?
Hometowns, woo!
Hometowns.
Woo!
Yeah! Hometowns, woo!
Woo!
Hometowns, woo!
Hometowns.
Woo!
Hometowns.
Woo!
We got four hometown dates. With
hometowns.
Woo!
Four lovely ladies.
Woo!
Welcoming Nick, the milquetoast from Milwaukee. The Dong from Wisconsin into their homes to meet their families and to hang and just a joy all. Well, in the case of the lovely Raven, who took him home to Hoxie, Arkansas.
I like her. Oh, I like her back.
You
like
her? Oh, my God, P. She is the whitest, trashiest of white trash.
Don't you like that accent? She sounds like the SEC does when it talks.
I do not like the accent, nor do I like what she considers entertainment in her home of Hoxie, Arkansas.
To have fun in Hoxie, you go mudding, you go frogging, you go climb grain bins. Nick has no idea what he's in for today, and it's going to be a complete and utter surprise.
It's going to be a surprise.
I like her.
You go mudding.
You don't like her.
You go frog digging, and then you climb the grain bins.
She just said all that stuff because she couldn't say unprotected sex all over town.
Oh, I see. Well, if that is on the menu, perhaps I'd be more interested. But if it's just mudding and frog digging and grain climbing.
Right.
I don't want to go frog digging. I can go grain climbing. I can't do the mudding.
The fourth item on the list should be noose tying, if that's my life in Hoxie, because then I'm just going to take my own life at that point. So then we move on, and the lovely Rachel brings home Nick.
Did you know that she was a black girl?
You know what? They did mention it a few times last night. Not only that Rachel is black, and P, I don't know if you read this or not, but Nick apparently is white.
I was not aware of that contrast until it was mentioned about 2,000 times.
It does seem to be a point of focus amongst Rachel's family, which, by the way, already has an interracial couple in it. Rachel's older sister, Constance, has a white husband.
Isn't that Nick's older brother?
He is. He did look a lot like Nick, but he was a lot weirder and creepier.
Bizarro Nick.
He was Bizarro Nick. He was. He made a point of letting Nick know that he was, in fact, white.
I can't help but notice you are a white.
Yeah.
So is this something new for you? Is this the first black woman you dated?
It is the first serious relationship I've been involved in with a black woman.
That guy was kind of creepy.
Well, that guy's white.
Yeah, creepy.
That's
white
guy.
That's
the white guy in the family telling the guy, are you aware that she's black? It's the weirdest
and
thing ever.
And he had sort of an air of superiority about, like, I got here first. You know, I was the first white guy to marry into this family, and now you're kind of being like me a little bit.
From one white guy to another, brother, let me just tell you,
right.
All these people in this house are black.
My brother. That's what he said to him. And he's wearing dress shoes with no socks, by the way.
Ugh.
Which is right off the show. Tossed out.
Maybe they were peds.
No. He was sockless with dress shoes.
I had no feeling about this because there was no actual emotion. It was just all race talk, double hashtag race talk.
Well, you know, she's black and he's white, P.
What?
Yeah.
If that's what the season's going to be like when Rachel's the bachelor, it's going to be rough.
It's going to be a long one.
Yeah, that'll get boring fast for sure.
We're going to just say, you know, I'm Irish. I got some Irish in me.
Luckily, we moved down to Miami to spend a little time with Corinne and her family.
Opa!
I enjoy the finer things in life. So today I'm going to show Nick a day in the life of Corinne. We're shopping at one of the most exclusive malls in Miami. Shopping and me go hand in hand. I mean, we're like white on rice.
You certainly are like white on rice.
Yep. Her whole life is money and sex, right? That's all she cares about are those two things.
Yes and yes.
Yes.
And olives,
yeah. They had a nice sit-down, a nice Greek sit-down dinner with Dad, and he makes his own Greek olives.
This was disturbing for me, Ralph, because the dad is a fat, saggy-eyed Greek with spoiled brat kids. This was like looking into the future.
Yeah, exactly.
You live.
Horrible.
You know you're going to be toasting with olives there at the table. Everybody gets one on their fork. You know how it works, P.
Loudmouth, saggy-eyed, fat Greek dad with ingrate children.
Just
indulging
his kids to no end. He had a serious sit-down with Corinne. By the way, the whole family was just smashed about halfway through dinner, just loaded up to the gills with booze. So they all got pretty slow-eyed and slurry at one point, which was very entertaining.
That's when I started really understanding.
Looking into the future.
Yes. Here they are having a deep, in-depth conversation.
What do you see?
Okay.
Tell me.
I see a person who cares about Corinne. The good, the bad, the embarrassed. He's been there through everything. He sees a lot more than other people see in me.
There's nothing to see in you, first of all.
Correct.
And second of all, he's been with me through everything. You've been on 3 dates.
On a game show.
Hey, she bought him a $6,000 sweatsuit.
She did. She
did buy a velour sweatsuit.
An expensive sweatsuit.
Yeah, I had to go out and get a second job just watching that part of the show.
It was expensive.
I liked that. I liked it, though.
And then finally.
I'll bet you did.
We get to Montreal.
All right.
Oh, we move on to Montreal with Vanessa. And her whole family, who I believe they like to play the hockey, because they are from Montreal, Canada, and that's what they do there. She was lovely and magical as always. They showed
she's pretty good. You're right. You know, she's pretty good, Ralph.
They showed her attending her special needs students, which was touching as hell.
Very.
And then we met both mom and dad. They are separated, but they both seem like salt-of-the-earth people who just were so out of place on the show because they kept asking sane questions to this insane situation.
Yeah.
They were asking, what does he do other than be The Bachelor? Does he have a career?
Great question. They had a great read. Every single one of them read him perfectly.
And they were like, are you going to move to the United States or is he going to move to Canada? Well, we really haven't had that conversation. What? You're talking about getting married and no one's talking about where you're going to live? And they seemed like they were shocked and dismayed that no one had thought to ask any of these questions before.
Ralph, everything you're saying is right, but I can't believe you're glossing over the brother.
The brother?
The brother Vanessa's in the brother? Canadian tuxedo.
The brother?
He looked like Bud Bundy, but like smaller and weirder and creepier.
Well,
and
he had a weird accent. I think he has some sort of physical affliction there, P.
Oh.
Yeah, maybe make less fun of that.
What's his affliction? No one said anything about that.
They didn't point it out, but I feel like he had some sort of a pituitary gland issue or something. He seemed to be undersized
and sort of frail. He had his chain on the outside. He had too much confidence.
He's got something going on.
I don't think so.
But my favorite part of that whole spending time with the family was when Nick went full bean creepy.
Oh.
While he was talking to the mom.
Yeah.
She sits him down to have a serious conversation, and you never go full bean, right?
Never.
Nick went full bean. Here we go.
What is it about Vanessa that really stood out that made you say, yeah, you know, I really like to get to know her. I think she's possibly the one for me.
Like when she got a limo, like I liked your daughter right away.
Okay, but I'm not really want to know about the look ones.
No, I know. I don't.
Because it's important for me to know that.
Yeah. Mom's like, hey, you know, I don't want to hear what your boner when she got out of the limo. That's not what I'm talking about.
When your daughter got out of the limo,
I
liked her right away. Yeah, my brother.
Look, I creeped out and I am bean,
right?
I don't know. I just went full bean on the brother. There's nothing. Don't special needs me with that.
There
kid,
is
Ralph.
Something
there's,
wrong with him,
there's
P.
There's nothing wrong with that kid other than that he's a creep weirdo.
I'm going to do some research.
Let's check on that before we point
I'm going to get back to you on that.
All right, so what's the conclusion? So he meets all the families. What happens then now? Does
he a train to catch?
No, does everybody sign off on him and now he's got a difficult decision to make or what happens?
Seems like it.
Yes, that's what happens. He's going to have another rose ceremony and he's going to have to let one of these ladies go home after having spent time with their family. And
girl does not understand the premise, Ralph. She still doesn't get it.
But Pete, he didn't have to ask every father in the hometowns for the daughter's hand in marriage.
They always do. It's the production.
But he doesn't have to do that. And she was right. It makes it less special if she asks her dad, but asks all the dads.
Concentrate on your hometown date, not everybody else's Vanessa.
Well, I think the big shock of the evening, just when we thought Vanessa was going to bang on his door and ask for some questions, there was a bang on the door, all right. But when we opened it up, who did we see?
Hello, Nick.
Andy's back.
No.
Andy Dorfman. Andy Dorfman with the face of death, with the resting face of death.
Now, who is Andy Dorfman?
Andy Dorfman.
The worst. Juan Pablo's nemesis, the lawyer with the jaw muscles stronger than Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes, the constantly frowning, sourpussed Andy, who, by the way, took Nick to the final two and then broke his heart.
So she was the bachelorette who rejected Nick.
Yeah.
Oh, can she be bad, though, at the same time because he's a terrible person? So she made the right decision.
No, but she ended up with that disgusting baseball player who was on Bachelor in Paradise, the one who ate all the pizza and chewed with his mouth all
right.
Josh. That's the one she picked over Nick. And Josh is the only person I know. Where's the Nick?
And Andy wrote a book saying that Josh Murray verbally abused her.
Right.
Yeah, that was my, come on! I yelled at the show last night.
But she's back.
Yeah, okay. Whatever.
Right. She's back, and she looks upset about something, but she always does. So she might be very happy. It's hard to tell because she's such a sourpussed awful woman.
All right, so no one went home last night.
Nick ever did was call her out for having sex with him on their
on national television.
Yeah, yeah, that was the best.
Bean, that's correct. There was no progress in as far as somebody going home or anything.
Bean's upset because there's no progress.
Save the ejection for next week.
Right.
Pete, we're going to have a meeting today. We're going to have a meeting today and find out whether we're allowed to still have you on the air with us. So if we do,
whatever.
We'll do that for the Bachelor Report next Tuesday at 8:05. Thanks, man.
Appreciate it. The Bachelor Report is in the spot, so you don't have to watch. This is going. I don't like this at all.
I'm going to stall. I'm going to stall and buy you some more time. Hey, K-Rock's Wheels Up 2017 is destination number 4, AFI in Glasgow, Scotland, you guys. All week long on K-Rock between 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. We're giving away tickets to see AFI in the HD radio sound space here at K-Rock. Great band, up close and personal in a tiny little room. And everyone who wins is qualified to see the band in Scotland. We're talking about round-trip airfare and hotel and $500 spending cash. You can get all the details at K-Rock.com. Your chance to win coming up just after 9 a.m. here on K-Rock.
I was out sick a couple of days last week, and I kept seeing something on the schedule that seemed to reappear every day.
Mm-hmm.
Because apparently you've been waiting for me to do this.
Well, we felt like you needed to be here so that you could help me defend us. apparently, people throughout the years have had the opportunity to meet Kevin and Bean. And apparently those guys are dicks. That's what I'm hearing.
I mean, that does seem to be people's story.
That does seem to be the consensus. And I was actually a little bit disturbed to hear that was the feeling not only here in the room, but among the people listening as well. So we thought, let's air it out. Let's find out. You met Kevin and Bean, and they were dicks. Those are the stories that we're looking for. 1-800-520-1067. I'm trying to disassociate myself from the bad men.
Unfortunately, we are them.
So we're going to take your calls, again, 1-800-520-1067, about the time that you met Kevin and Bean and you were disappointed. And not just how we looked, but because that's a given, right? You were disappointed in the way we treated you. Those are the stories we're looking for. And I hope one of the guys in Thrace calls. I would enjoy reliving that experience. Now, Allie, you kind of have an interesting history of Kevin and Bean because although you've been on the show full time for the past couple of years, there was a time where you were just a listener.
Sure. I have met you guys three times, none of which you remembered. So
I remember the third time.
Thank you, Kevin. Mm-hmm. That's very nice. No, first time was like the end of the 90s. It was the grand opening of the Staples Center.
Okay.
There was a lot happening. I don't expect you to remember some young person. And then the second time was at Breakfast with Incubus, where they had their Incubus like HQ, and they had this whole living room.
Where was that?
No, it was off La Brea.
Oh, okay. All right.
So I went to that, met you guys, took a picture, everything. Amazing. So nice to meet you. Then nothing. Then the third time.
Now, hold on a sec before you move on. Were we nice to you those two times that we met?
Oh, good,
yes,
being good.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
Okay, so we were nice.
But the second time, I was like, damn, what's it take for someone to remember someone? So then the third time was at a UFC event, and Kevin's like, oh, so nice to meet you. I'm like, third time.
If you don't mind, she had texted me, and she said we should bet. And I said, okay, let's bet on the next fight. Mm-hmm. And she said, oh, okay, I'll take the fifth round.
I was new to the UFC at that time.
Only championship fights go five rounds. Everything else is three rounds. So I was like, all right, I'll take round three. And then that's when I thought, oh, wow. Okay,
She's
not right. Now, Chip, what? How come you're standing over there?
Okay, let me preface this with this. I've been listening to you guys since I was a little kid, probably way too young, and it caused me not to develop into a great human being because of that.
So you're blaming us for that?
Yeah. Like, okay. That's the joy of parents who don't care is I can listen to whatever I want when I'm a kid.
Okay.
So I was like fifth or sixth grade, and my sister took me to a CD signing.
Okay.
I was a Kevin and Bean listener, and she knew I loved that.
This was the Christmas album that we used to
Christmas
put out
album,
here.
Okay. Yeah. So she bought albums for herself, but of course I couldn't get one because, you know, parental advisory or whatever.
Oh, sure.
So she gave me a piece of paper to have you guys autograph.
Right.
And I gave it to Bean, and Bean's like, oh, it's so great that you gave me a piece of trash to sign. Oh, my God. Dick. And then I think Kevin.
And how old are you at this point? Like 10?
Like 10 or 11.
Aww.
And then Kevin on his wrote, start a fire with this.
What did I say?
Start a fire.
Start a fire with this.
Oh, man.
So,
but we were doing it. I mean, in our defense, we were doing it to be funny.
Dicks.
I hope. Did you do the sad George Michael walk away from the store?
The Arrested Development sad slow walk away.
Aww. Oh, Jeff.
I need to know what happened with Thrice.
We were doing it. I'll give you the short version of the story. We're doing a singles
party.
Hold on.
Kevin, I want you to hold that. Christine, come in real fast.
Okay.
I want Christine to. Christine is friends with Thrice.
Excellent.
So she not only knows about this story, but she knows what the fallout has been with the band Thrice. Now, Thrice, the band we ended up, by the way, playing on K Rock, and
yep.
It was very successful, very popular. Is she listening? Is she not listening?
I don't know. She's not coming in.
Okay.
So I'll start the story. So we're doing a singles party. We're in Las Vegas. We're at the pool.
Okay.
Outside at the pool. And a guy walks up to Bean and says, "Hey, I want you to hear our CD." And he hands Bean a CD.
No.
Now, in Bean's defense, Bean's thinking funny.
Right.
So the funniest thing to Bean.
No, he didn't.
He doesn't even look at the CD. He just takes it from the guy's hand and just tosses it out into the water. And it was super funny, but then that guy turned around and did the sad walk away.
Oh, no.
And I was like, no. It would be worse if he looked at it and saw it Thrice or listened to it first. He didn't do any of that.
No.
It doesn't matter what you handed him. He was going to throw it in the water. So, but then they were apparently a little upset. And then we actually ended up having to interview them at one point and tell the story. We actually had to say, "Hey, we're really sorry about that whole thing."
All right. Well, look, let's move on. Let's move on from that. We're taking your calls, and I already regret this topic. 1-800-520-1067. Oh, look at the time, Kim. We actually have to take a break. But Santiago, you hang on, and Bobby and Jason and Mark and all the rest.
You can hang up. You don't have to hold.
No,
apparently, Kevin
holds.
And Bean for sure. Were next when you met them, and we'll hear your stories next on K-Rock.
Should we play another song, or do we have to take the calls?
I think we go to the calls.
I think we got to. We just need to just get this over with.
All right.
The phone topic this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show is I met Kevin and Bean and they were dicks. 1-800-520-1067. Matt is writing in, by the way, on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. I have not met them yet, but yes, they are dicks. So he's already decided. All right, let's just, why don't we start with, Jason. He's in Cerritos. He'll get us going. Line three here. We'll just burn through as many of these as fast and as painfully as possible.
Hey, Jason.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
I went to the Fullerton. You guys played the midgets in basketball.
Oh,
yes,
yeah,
we did.
The first time or the second time?
Mid-90s. Ralph was known as Doughboy or New Guy.
New Guy, very right. Different than Doughboy.
And those midgets, man, they cheat so much, don't they?
Anyways, Kevin, you were dressed as Fletch, and you shook my hand, and that was really cool. I was happy with that. I noticed you're a nail biter, but anyways. Bean, I went to reach out and shake your hand, and you just looked at me and walked away.
I mean, I feel like only having spoken to you this long, Bean made the right call.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Mark in La Habra.
In 5 years, we're going to have to take calls from people who we were mean to on the phone.
Let's go to Mark on line four. He's the first of our Marks here on the Kevin Beach Show. Mark, where were you and what happened?
Hey, Mark.
This was like 15 years
ago. All right,
ago,
take it easy.
Something like that.
With that.
No, really, with the calendar signing. Lincoln Park is playing.
Yep.
Ralph, Drew, Adam, Big Tad, for God's sake.
Right, we're all signing the calendars, yeah.
Take a picture with everybody else, come to Beans, trying to shake his hand, like he pulls back, like it was like I was had like a disease or something.
Yeah, he does that to be funny.
God, me, you're such a dick.
He's been waiting 15 years to get on and tell me that. Thank you for the call. Let's go to the next Mark. He's in La Mirada. He's on line five up next to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Mark.
Yeah.
So we're here. We're here.
Okay, yeah. So I was at breakfast with Kevin and Bean at the Whiskey and Go-Go in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
This was also mid-early 90s, maybe late 90s, I don't know.
Okay.
There were a whole bunch of chicks that were yelling out, Bean, you mean, like, you could tell they totally adored him. They really loved him.
And that's a lie. But continue.
Well, so Bean's announcing and everything, and as soon as it cuts the commercial break, he turns and yells at those chicks. He's like, "I'm working right now."
Well, Bean. The last thing you want is girls being all over you. Everybody knows that.
I'm working right now.
That doesn't sound like me, except the part that it does. Yeah. All right, thank you for the call. Let's go to Maria. She's in Orange. She's on line six. This is a very painful segment, by the way. I hope this is therapeutic for us somehow, and we learn an important lesson. Maria, what are you calling to mock us about?
So you guys were my idols when I was a little kid. So I was about 10, my dad decided to take me to Hooters to meet you guys. I was wearing my Wiener Rose shirt. I was very excited.
Hold on a sec. What end of the phone are you talking into, Maria? What's happening here? We can barely make out what you're saying.
Can you not hear me?
That's well, sort of. Okay, that's, so you were 10 bit. And your dad took you to Hooters. That's what I've heard so far.
And I feel like you should be filing your complaint with your dad, not with us at this point.
All right, go ahead.
If possible, I was wearing my Weenie Rose shirt. I was excited to get an autograph.
Okay.
And I ended up just kind of standing on the outside of your dad's little circle and waving over. And being just kind of looked over, gave me this look like, who is this little girl at Hooters?
So you're like 10 and you were waving, hey. And Bean just looked at you and looked away?
Pretty much. I walked away extremely disappointed.
Oh, were we doing a live broadcast from a Hooters restaurant for some reason?
Yeah, he was working,
remember,
Maria.
To be honest, it was just over in Anaheim, close to home for the first time, and my dad decided to take me over.
Huh. Wow.
Well, I'm right. Sorry. I'm sorry for that. You're it sounds like Kevin sorry. Was very mean to you, but thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that.
That's oh, right.
I don't know if I've ever told this story about the first time I met Kevin.
Really?
Oh, no.
You?
Yes. Jimmy Kimmel suggested that I come in and take over for him because he and Adam were going off to do the Man Show, and they were leaving the Kevin and Bean Show, and these guys were scrambling, trying to find someone to fill that position temporarily until they could find a permanent solution. So Jimmy Kimmel recommended me, and Kevin and Bean said they had to meet me, and Jimmy set up a meeting, and I met these guys for the first time, and I'd never really listened to the show because I worked late at night, and I slept in to run noon every day. So I came in, and Kevin said to me, so what's your radio experience? And I said, I have no radio experience. And Kevin looked, just stared at me and said, well, that's less than ideal. And then Bean said, what are you doing now? And I said, I'm a bartender. And he said, well, that should come in handy if we ever open a restaurant.
Holy crap!
Those are the first two comments I got from those guys the very first time I met them.
So it was love at first sight.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, dear Lord.
Yeah. Good Lord, you guys.
Look. Let's try Bobby in L.A. line two, please.
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Pete left the dick?
That's not a resolution.
What are you going to do? In my defense, what are you going to do?
Being better.
That's not a defense.
Hey, Bobby. What happened?
Let me just preface by saying that you guys are like my heroes. Like I love radio and Kevin Bean. I've listened to you guys since like sixth grade.
Right, you're very
it's
nice.
It's going to hurt more.
You're very nice, more. But that does make it more painful. Go ahead.
And I was at a Miss Double December pageant. You guys sat down with Dave at the restaurant. And I was like, okay, I'm going to hype myself up. I got to go talk to him. I got to meet my heroes,
oh,
you know?
No.
I go in, and I was like, hey, it was nice to meet you guys. You guys are the greatest DJs ever. And then you guys just kind of look at me. And you're like, oh, nice to meet you. And then Dave turns around and looks at me and says, okay, are you good now? Okay, are you good?
Dave said that?
The takeaway is Dave's a dick, right?
Right? Dave's a dick! Dave's a dick! Dave's a dick!
So was it sad for you, Bobby?
Yeah, I slowly backed away.
I'm
sorry.
I was just kind of looking at my friends. Excuse me. I was looking at my friends. They're like, that's your hero, bro.
Let me just say this in our defense.
Please, because I can't think of anything in our defense, Kevin.
We're not good with compliments.
Okay.
So if somebody says you're our heroes, we assume that they're mocking us. Because how could we possibly be anyone's hero?
Right.
I mean, seriously.
Because you need to Well, I don't even know what the word is I'm looking for here.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call, though, Bobby. We appreciate it. I apologize.
All right, let's do one more, and let's make it our friend Yasser. He's on line 8. All right. Yasser. Yasser or Yasser?
Yasser.
Hey there.
Welcome. Yas man.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, Yas man.
What's up, Kevin?
What's up?
Yeah.
Oh, this is the Slayer guy.
Yeah.
This is. Has it been edited? All right, I'm going to edit it, Yasser, because I'm scared of you. But this is, we were outside Slayer, and we were doing Heavy Metal Parking Lot. We were interviewing fans and stuff. And this is him.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody. You. Eat. Suck. Your mom. Die, die, die. Your mom. Die, die, die. Your mom. Die, die, die. Your mom. Yeah.
That's this guy.
It sounds like we were having a good time. Please tell me, Kevin, was it mean to you?
No, he wasn't. I didn't even know who you guys were. All of a sudden, I heard you guys are interviewing for a Slayer concert, and I'm like, oh, man,
they're interviewing for Slayer, like one of the greatest metal bands ever.
Right.
Who are these guys? And I've listened to your show, but I've never seen you guys. So
it's I get best on there, that way.
And I knew that, like, if I ever got, like, to get an interview, I'd have to, like, say something, like, really raunchy, like the Catch Me Outside girl or whatever, you know?
Right.
So I thought, like, oh, F your mom will work. And then that's when I started saying something, F your mom.
And a love story was born. Yeah! Yeah! Everybody! You! Eat suck your mom! Die, die, die! Your mom! Die, die, die! Your mom! Die, die, die! Your mom! Yeah!
That's a good times right there.
Yeah, it's one of your best interviews.
Hey, speaking of Nirvana, just playing that on K-Rock, I'm sure you guys saw online that it was would have been Kurt Cobain's 50th birthday over the weekend.
No kidding.
Which is just hard to imagine because he's, you know, frozen in time at 27. That's the last we saw him. A lot of people
they're
were
frozen.
Wondering what he would be.
I don't think
like
they
Walt Disney?
Yeah, I don't put him in a box frozen. And then they
no, I'm saying our, think so. That's crazy. I'm saying our knowledge of him, the way we look at him is frozen in time because we never saw him age past 27. But a lot of people were wondering what he would be up to. What would Kurt that's Cobain weird. Be doing?
I think that every
going,
day.
Ow!
Don't. Don't.
I'm not going to.
He was alive today. That's what he'd be doing.
Conversation.
Let's
Adam Carolla joins us after the top of the hour. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday.
I mean, that's awful.
Kid's not wrong. Listener Edwin writes in.
Oh, no.
Love the new segment, Kevin and Beaner Dicks. This will be the weekly segment that replaces the Wheel of Ed Animal.
I don't feel
right?
like this is a weekly
yes,
segment.
You're absolutely right, Evan. This will be the weekly segment that,
I don't see that
replaces the Wheel of Bad Animal
voice. I feel
voices,
like that's
so
the case.
That's got
the tone is such hatred.
Going for it. It is a Tuesday, but we're going to take a look at the weekend box office anyway because we were all off yesterday. 4-day President's Day weekend meant that Lego Batman took the number one slot.
It was 4-day for me.
4-day President's Day weekend.
It was a 3-day weekend.
It's three.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think it was a 6-day for Kevin. Right?
I think it was 7.
Well, they look at, in terms of box office weekends, they look at Friday, then Saturday,
oh,
Sunday,
I see.
And then Monday being the...
You can't...
You can't,
what?
You can't say
you can't
that.
Say that.
Really?
Nope.
I'm pretty not sure I got a memo.
You that said that was all right?
There was a memo that said I could say that word now.
I'd like to see that memo.
Yeah. So for the 4-day box office weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
Right.
The Lego Batman movie was number one at the box office, $42.5 million. 50 Shades Darker, $23.3 million. The Great Wall debuted with $21.7 million. John Wick, Chapter 2, was fourth. Fist Fight debuted with $14.5 million, made it number five. Hidden Figures, Split, A Dog's Purpose, La La Land, and Lion were the rest of your top 10 films.
I thought this was interesting. A Great Wall, Ralph, made just under $250 million in China this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I think that was the anticipation, was that it was going to be an international smash, regardless of what kind of money it made domestically. They
yeah,
knew
we're kind of a bonus in that movie.
Yeah, they knew they were going to get a big payout in China.
That was Beans!
Fun fact.
Bean fun fact? Now, here's Beans with the top 10 movies in China. Bean, get that list. Lady Lar is in the news. She has a very specific list of demands before she agrees to play Ariel in the live-action Little Mermaid movie.
I hadn't heard the rumor that she'd been asked.
No one is asking her to play Ariel in the live-action Little Mermaid movie. Yet still, she felt the need to Instagram a photo of herself side by side with the animated Ariel from the Disney classic, but then say all the things she wants to happen in order for her to play the role. She wants Bill Condon, the director, who of course famously did Chicago, and Showgirls, not Showgirls,
Dreamgirls.
Dreamgirls. She wants him to be the director.
Okay.
And she also wants her sister Allie Lowen to sing the title track on the soundtrack album.
Why not get someone popular instead?
She's got a lot of rules and requests.
For somebody that hasn't been asked to do the role, that's odd.
Yeah, a lot of demands.
Also, she said at the craft service table, oh yes, blow. There must be blow, she said. Big bowls of it.
I don't think she actually said that at all.
No. But she has a lot of problems, however. She was on Good Morning Britain this morning, and she said she was profiled
at London's Heathrow Airport on Monday because she was wearing a headscarf. And so they're profiling her and her Muslim beliefs.
Is she Muslim? Did I miss that?
Well, she hasn't officially converted, but she is reading and studying the Quran.
Okay.
Or the Quran, as she is calling it in her weird Lindsay accent. Listen to her as she was interviewed today and see if you can understand what the hell she's saying.
Are you going to convert to Islam?
I think that me studying the Quran is something that I found a solace in. I do study it. Nothing is confirmed yet, but...
You read the Quran regularly, right?
Yeah, I do.
I do study it, but nothing has been confirmed yet. I read the Quran. Hmm. What
accent is that? Anyway, she said she was stopped. And they said, we need to see your passport.
They made her show a passport?
Yes.
At an airport? Get on a plane?
And
what?
Then she said the airport official opened my passport and saw Lindsay Lohan and started immediately apologizing, but then said, please take off your headscarf. And I did. It's okay. But what scared me was at that moment, how would another woman who doesn't feel comfortable taking off her headscarf feel? That was really interesting to me. I was in kind of shock.
So Lindsay sees that these kinds of stories are in the news, and she's thinking, how can I get some of that publicity?
I'm guessing. There's no confirmation that that happened, that incident, but... She does read the Quran, and it is solace to her, and she is happy to be here. I am Lindsay Lohan. I want to play Ariel, the Little Mermaid, and I will do it like this. Sebastian the Crab, why are we under the sea?
She's a weirdo.
With that accent... Today's celebrity birthdays. Sophie Turner, Game of Thrones, X-Men is 21 years old today. Ellen Page turns 30, as does Ashley Greene. Jennifer Love Hewitt is 38 years old, as is Jordan Peele. Comedian, writer, director. Got Get Out in theaters right now. It's coming out this week.
Yeah, I think it'll be this Friday,
He's 38 today, and Kelsey Grammer. Frasier, of course, 62 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Comedian, podcast host, writer, director, producer, longtime friend of the Kevin and Bean Show, our pal Adam Carolla is on the line. You can see him live on stage this Thursday night at the Oxnard Levity Live. What the hell is that, Ace Man? What's the Oxnard Levity Live?
It's a new comedy club in Oxnard, but I think it's sold out, so you can try. There might be three or four tickets left.
All righty. Well, how are you? Good to talk to you. What's going on, Ace?
I've been working with Jimmy on the Oscar monologue and jokes and stuff.
Is that it's right? Fun. Is that fun?
It's nothing's fun as I've learned in life, but it's challenging. It's interesting. Like, you know, they start throwing out topics and, you know, who's doing this and who's presenting and who's not presenting, and we need a joke for this guy and a joke for that movie, and everyone sits in a room and. Jimmy rejects all the jokes.
Well, I feel like it would be a really difficult process because you have to consider, like, how does this person react to certain kinds of humor? Like, you'd
well,
have
it's
to,
not even that. It's
I
just,
feel like
it's
you'd
just
have to take that into account, though.
But all of these topics have been done to death in the every late night comedy show leading up to the Oscars. All these same movies and all these same news events and all these same actors have all been there. Trying to find a fresh take must be what's hard about it.
Yeah, every time you pitch something, you go, oh, how about we do this? And they go, they did it on Fallon yesterday.
It does seem difficult.
Well, I mean, look, think about the internet. I mean, these guys, these old-time comedians, they'd get by with the same act and the same jokes for two decades, and now everything's on the internet.
Yeah, true. A lot of comedians don't want to put stuff up on the internet just because it ends up ruining their bit, and they have to try and come up with new stuff.
Right.
Kimmel is going to be great as an Oscar host, just as he was as an Emmys host. It seems like, and you know him so much better than we do, Adam, but it seems like he is unflappable. Is there ever a time when Jimmy is scared or Jimmy is nervous about doing something? Because it doesn't show.
No, the only time I've ever seen Jimmy nervous is about being late. Oh. So back in the day when we'd have to do the press upfronts at the Pasadena Four Seasons Hotel, and they'd say, you know, the car's going to pick you up on Sunday at 11 o'clock, and then they'll pick Jimmy up, and then you guys will go to Pasadena, and then they'll John Stewart will start out, and then they'll bring the girls up from AbFab, and then you guys will come up and talk about the Man Show, and I'd be the one who'd raise my hand and go, it's Sunday, 11 o'clock. We'll be there in 20 minutes. Have the car pick us up at 11:30. We're not even going to hit the stage until 1, Jimmy, and he'd go, I'm leaving at 11. You're not in the car. You can take something called Uber, which doesn't exist yet. I just invented
right.
it. And I'd well, go, we're not going to do anything. We're going to sit in the lobby for an hour. And he'd go, I'm going. I'm not going to be late. I mean, when we went to Houston for the Super Bowl and, like, season 2 of his show,
right.
we were in some sort of celebrity go-kart race on a Sunday morning, like Super Bowl Sunday.
Right.
I was out drinking at an after-hours club until, like, 5 a.m.
Right.
And Jimmy's, like, bang, bang, bang on the door at 8:30 in the morning. Like, they're doing the celebrity go-kart. We got there. They were still setting up. So the only time I've ever seen Jimmy nervous is about being late.
Yeah. All right.
A weird well,
that's a strange
celebrity quality, right?
That's a strange thing, but there are very certain odd. People like that that just have to be. Bean's one of them that has to
yeah,
be early
I'm the same
to everything.
Yeah,
but Bean's not I'm funny, and he's not a celebrity.
Right. That's true.
No, you're right about that. You're right about that. But at least I never miss planes, though, and that's what makes it all worthwhile to live the way I live.
I've never
hey, listen,
met, like Jimmy was literally sending me emails last night asking me if I needed a tuxedo. If I needed a tuxedo, he could put me with the wardrobe guy. Here's the wardrobe guy, Rodney. Make sure he gets a tuxedo. And I just think, is he the most thoughtful guy on the planet?
Okay, so
yeah, he's
hosting
the Oscars. He shouldn't be worried about you and what you're wearing.
So it's Tuesday, though, and you have or have not thought about this for 1 second. About
I have
what,
not thought about this for 1 second. And hey. Jimmy, last night at 9:40, was putting me in touch with Rodney, the wardrobe guy.
That's hilarious. Hey, Adam Carolla is on the line here. The last time we spoke with you, Ace Man, you broke the news on our air that your next documentary is going to be a movie about K-Rock. And we asked you at the time, hey, are you doing any crowdsourcing? Are you going to be looking for anything from listeners of the station over the past 40 years who may have materials they can contribute to the movie? And you said, you know what? That's a great idea. Let's set that up. And now it sounds like there's a portal for that. It's called chassis.com, C-H-A-S-S-Y.com. What are you looking for there, Adam?
Any pictures, any memorabilia, Richard Blade spent condom. I know a lot of you ladies got those hanging from the rearview mirrors of your Camrys. It struck me. It's like one of these things, you make documentaries, but you never really figure out how to do it, and you just keep learning. I think it was your idea, Bean. You just went, well, what about all the listeners and all the photographs and all the concerts and all the events and all the calendar
And you hadn't
signings.
Thought about that either?
He's like, that's a great idea.
This is going to be a huge source of material. Well, you don't really, you know, I did one on Paul Newman's racing career, and I did one on Ford, Ferrari, Le Mans. There's stuff out there, but it's not like when we would do a calendar signing and 1,000 people would show up, or everyone would take a picture but us, right?
Right, exactly.
So
yeah.
They have all this material, and we'd love to incorporate it into the documentary.
I think it's a great idea. So if you've got any video or photos of Adam or Jimmy or Jed the Fish or Richard Blade, Carson Daly, Rodney Bingenheimer, anybody who's gone through the doors, you know, going all the way back, whatever you've got, you can go to chassis, chassy.com and click on K-Rock if you want to get in touch with the production team and let them know what it is you have. And that movie hopefully is going to be coming out, I think, early next year is what you're shooting for, right, Adam?
Yeah, we're working on it right now. We're going to work every day on it, and it's really cool. And it may be like a 3 or 6-parter because it's so much material. We realize
can't wait.
We just can't squeeze it into one 90-minute doc.
All right, I want to get in one other plug before you go, Adam, and it's always great to catch up with you, and you're always busy and you have so much going on, too. You've got a new show on Spike debuting on March 14th, and this is a show where you are going to be building things. You're going to, once again, show us how much you know in that area, except you're going to be doing it live on TV. What's the advantage of building things live?
No idea. No, I think it's one of these things where I can do it, which is, interesting other than, you know, most of these guys are just sort of hosts with a fake tool belt. But the live part is TV is, you know, everyone TiVos everything and fast forwards everything and goes through all the commercials, and nobody watches anything except for sporting events, really, in real time.
Right.
So the idea is to try to do something in real time that people can watch. And it also adds an element of, you know, I could lose a finger.
I mean, really, that's awesome.
On TV.
Yeah.
How are you with putting IKEA furniture together? Are you the one who's been able to crack that and make it work?
I am no faster at it than anybody else. Well, all the construction skills I have do not apply to that. But, you know, IKEA's mascot is the Allen wrench you use to put the thing together with, which to me is the world's worst mascot, isn't it? Like, isn't it just advertising? You're going to spend the weekend arguing with your spouse, and I'm the tool that's going to facilitate that. Shouldn't it be a meatball? They have delicious Swedish meatballs over there. Why is it the thing that lets you know, oh, yeah, that entertainment unit is not going to show up to my house?
It's going to take a lot
like
of work.
Entertainment unit.
Yeah.
It's going to show up in a pallet.
That's a good point. All right. The Spike Show is Adam Carolla and Friends Build Stuff Live. It happens Tuesday, March 14th at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And, of course, chassis.com is the website if you've got K-Rock stuff you want to upload. And the Adam Carolla Live Show podcast is going to be this Thursday night. Sold out, suckers. Oxnard, Levity Live. AdamCarolla.com for all the details. Great catching up, man. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, guys.
One of Southern County's most beloved bands, AFI, is coming back to K-Rock this Monday. They're going to be in the HD Radio Sound Space performing live. And guess who's going to be there? Michelle Page from Tustin just won her tickets from the Kevin and Bean Show. She's also qualified to see the band again in Glasgow, Scotland, if she wins the grand prize for K-Rock's Wheels Up 2017 Destination Number 4. Get all the details from KRock.com. Your chance to win coming up every hour between now and 9 p.m.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:39.
Which means it's about that time for our final look at the showbiz beat on a Tuesday morning. In walks Ralph Garman.
Still going off. Soldier Boy v. Chris Brown.
Going off or going on?
Well, the fight is, they're going off on each other, but the fight is off.
Ugh.
So it's not going on.
It's too bad.
A lot of offs and ons in that sentence, but I think you know what I'm getting at. It is canceled. The two will not be battling it out in the squared circle. No, my friends. No grudge match between these two powerhouses. Yeah. Apparently, Soldier Boy tweeted that Brown was scared of him.
Oh, it's on.
And refused to sign off on the fight. Chris Brown manager called my manager last night, he said in impeccable grammar. Chris Brown manager called my manager last night, said the fight is off and he's not signing the contract. Don't ask me about the S no more. But he wasn't done with it as he continued to tweet, nah, he acting like a bitch, won't sign the boxing contract. Now Brown has not responded about the fight or its status. Which is probably just as well, because no one give a rat's ass. I was kind of hoping Chris Brown would get punched in the face, though.
I mean, you really sort of root for against both of them.
Yeah, maybe it'd be like one of those, like the Rocky movie. They both get hit at the same time.
A knockout punch at the exact same time?
Yes, and they go down in slow motion. And, get up, Rock! Get up! Slow motion, crawling up the ropes, and then neither one.
Why is he calling him Rock?
He's confused. His man just confused.
All right.
He took too many shots to the head.
Wasn't celebrity boxing a show on Fox for a while?
Yes.
It was for a short while.
Yeah.
Danny Bonaduce was on one of them, and Manute Bol, if I remember correctly.
I think Bonaduce went up against Donny Osmond, if I'm not mistaken.
That sounds right.
Those
were
always terrible fights.
And then didn't Horse Shack take on Screech or something? It wasn't like the Battle of the Nerds?
So.
Yeah, they were awful. Well,
they
Kevin,
were terrible
of course
fights.
Terrible fights. They're freaking amateurs who have never put on a pair of gloves before.
I know, but it sounds funny. Like when you're talking about this fight, it sounds funny, but it's just horrible. It's just terrible.
I remember poor Ron Palillo, who played Horseshack on Welcome Back, Kotter, getting pegged by, I'm pretty sure it was Screech from Saved by the Bell, and his headgear got twisted around so that the opening was like on the side of his face, and he was what it was like a Three Stooges moment. He was wandering around the ring, not being able to see because the headgear was over his face.
And could he not turn the headgear?
He did eventually find a way to work his way back, but just for a moment there, he was sort of reaching out into the ether, trying to find his way back to his corner, and it was not.
This
good.
Is fantastic. So Donnie Bonaduce fought with
Donnie Bonaduce. Is that his brother?
Danny Bonaduce. Fought with Barry Williams from the Brady Bunch.
Ah.
Oh, there you go.
Todd Bridges This is written so poorly, it's hard for me to decipher. It looks like May have fought Vanilla Ice. Is that possible? Did he fight Vanilla Ice?
What are you talking about?
All things are possible.
Yeah. Paula Jones fought Tanya Harding.
Come on.
That was an episode.
I mean, come on now.
Didn't Joey Buttafuoco fight China?
Yes.
No.
The whole country?
Yes.
Yes, Kevin.
China
the
was
whole
a
country.
China was a last minute substitute
the whole
for John Wayne
country?
Bobbitt.
Country?
And Manute Bol fought William the Refrigerator Perry.
Oh, I remember that one. That was bad.
They were all bad.
Manute Bol looked like a stick bug. He looked like a praying mantis. Just like ding, 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 like with the mechanical arms.
Ed Screech versus Horshack.
That was the ultimate. that was the gold standard.
In 2002.
On the television, Allie?
Listen what year?
2002. TV Guide ranked it as number 6 on its 50 worst TV shows of all time list.
Yeah.
Does that mean it's close to the worst or it's close to the best of that list? Number 6.
I'm saying number 6.
Are you counting up to number 1, which is the worst?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, I would think
if
so.
If it's the worst list, then the first number...
I don't know which way they're worst. Yeah. I didn't know.
Welcome
what do you
back.
Mean which way you're counting? You only count one way when something is the most of something. Let me give you the number of the biggest money-making movies of all time. Wouldn't number 1 have the most money?
Yes, of course, Ralph.
So
don't ask stupid questions.
Then wouldn't number 1 be the worst, then, if they're making a list of the worst television shows?
I assume that would be true, yes, as well.
Kev Dog.
Back. Better than ever.
Meanwhile,
holy crap.
Freddie Roach is saying it looks like Mayweather-McGregor's going to happen.
It's really?
That's what he said today.
Freddie Roach knows, because Freddie Roach weighs with a lot of those fellas, and I think he's an asshole. I don't say nothing bad about anybody, but I think he's an asshole.
So Freddie says so. I believe Freddie. No one? Hello?
I'd like it to be true, but it's just there's been so many rumors back and forth.
Yeah. McGregor should say, thanks for stopping by, my brother, when he gets to the ring.
Thanks so much for coming in, my brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, my brother. Brother of another mother. Jive turkey. There was a fire at Ryan Seacrest's house.
Yes.
But apparently all is well. There was some charred wood. Electrical fire apparently broke out. Thank God everyone is okay. He tweeted, he Instagrammed with pictures of the fire. And he thanked the firefighters from the 90210 area for helping douse the flames. Not the first time Ryan's flames have been doused. You know what I'm saying?
No.
I don't either, but...
Excellent.
All is well. He's okay, so it all worked out. Just saying, we're happy he's okay, right?
And then did he say... Thanks so much for coming in, my brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, fireman, thanks for coming by, my brothers.
I think we can let that go.
Let that go?
Oh, it's not going anywhere.
Are you kidding?
I don't think that's something that needs to be.
Jerry Brucker.
Thanks so much for coming in, my brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, my brother. Power. You know, Bean, when he said that, he had his fist raised like this, right? You know that. You know that he did.
Of course.
Thanks just for coming in, my brother.
Just trying to show some affection. Just be friendly.
Friendly like Superfly. Like Superfly was friendly.
Thanks so much for coming in, my brother. We'll talk to you soon.
He's got one of his hats on with a big feather. Long mink coat. Driving a Cadillac.
He's a pimp
now? Superfly. Yeah, that's what Superfly was. And Jerry Bruckheimer's bringing us a new TV show. Jerry Bruckheimer's teaming up with the sports folks from Sports Illustrated. Put together a documentary series called Sports Illustrated True Crime. Which will be a documentary about professional athletes involved in crime.
Well, there's plenty to choose from.
Crime involving sports figures. It'll be a series. It'll be a weekly series. So
I like it.
Each weekly series will have an episode dedicated to one athlete and one crime.
Who's who's the football player that just got arrested for being naked for the third time in a year? Do you guys see that?
I did not.
Jamal Anderson.
Oh, yeah. The Dirty Bird.
Small Anakin.
Yeah.
Are we boring you, Dave? Sorry. Yes. Are we upsetting you?
Well, he was a Falcon.
He's no,
a Falcon.
He's an Atlanta Falcon.
Oh, he's a Falcon.
Wait, is this
Falcon. He's a Felchin.
Another time since the last one at the what? At the mini mart where he walked in and just started going to town on his
Yeah, I think he was arrested again like in the last week.
I don't know if that's anything.
It's a thing.
Started going to town on his owl?
Yes. That is odd. That's what he calls him.
That's strange.
Little Falcon.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Someone pointed out this morning, and it was missed on me, and I'm embarrassed, that there are three X-Men celebrating birthdays today.
Wow.
First, we had Sophie Turner from Game of Thrones and X-Men. She's 21 years old today. Then Ellen Page was also an X-Men.
Right.
30 years old today. And Kelsey Grammer was also an X-Men.
That's right.
62 years old today. He was the first Beast.
And Beauty and the Beast.
No. Not at all. The Beast, the X-Men, the Beast, Hank McCoy.
Right.
You don't know.
I know.
Comedian director Jordan Peele was kind enough to be on the show today. 38 years old today. Jennifer Love Hewitt is also 38. And Ashley Green celebrates her 30th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat, my brother.
Thanks so much for coming in, my brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, you're out.
The SoCal Hopeful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win this afternoon with a 5 p.m. commercial-free hour here on the world-famous K-Rock. Tomorrow morning, Sam Richardson in studio. Very excited about that. From Veep, and also his show on Comedy Central, which debuts tomorrow night, called Detroiters. Also, Sal Masekela will be on the program tomorrow. Vice World of Sports, and it's Wednesday, and that means it's the Wheel O' Bad Animal Voices. Tomorrow morning as well.